ജയംവിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാനന്ദ പത്വേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ ജയം നിത്യലാപ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്കി നമാചാര്യ ശിലഹദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്കി പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്കി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോ ഗോവിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനക്കി വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംകി മായപ്പൂർ ധാംകി മധുരപുരി ധാംകി ജഗന്നാഥ് പരിധാംകി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംകി ഗംഗമായിക്കി യമുനമായിക്കി തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്കി ഗോർ പ്രേമാനന്ദ All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namama Shubhadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nidhi Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajagne. Narvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവദാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ പുരുഷ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യൽ സൂരയ തേജോപാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം നാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഭഗം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോചിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാബരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധേത്രകൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തർക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപദ്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം പ്രപ്രചന്തമനുപേതമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹാദരമജുഹാവ പുത്രേതിരന്മയതയത്തരമോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു പുണിതാധുദാനനേന്ദോഹോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരിന്നക്കണികാഭി കാഭികാഭി ഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദ പ്രജസ്ത്രീനാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാതിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീ ചരണാരവിന്ദ പ്രമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം പാതാലയേശമനിശം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മമാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മോഹം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതീമഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അമ്പത്വാ മനസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധി ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നവാരിജാതായ ത്വോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോദോദ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഃഖം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹ വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജലാ ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ മഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശരവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാമോദിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പ്രേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്വന്തിവേസ്തവേർവേദേർ സാംഗപദേർ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ So, in the 12th canto, what we have discussed so far, in the first chapter we saw how the different dynasties, the different kings who ruled one after the other, and what was generally referred to as the lineage of solar dynasty and particularly the lunar dynasty, Somavamsha Nirupanam. Somavamsha means the lunar dynasty which ruled this planet after Krishna left this planet. So in the first chapter that is what was spoken about, and in the second chapter basically they were talking about the change in the world, what happened to the different species, particularly the human form, which is meant for self-realization, how due to the advent of Kali our attitude has changed in life. And Krishna also mentioned, Shri Brahmashi says there, although in this age of Kali there are many defects, in this age of Kali still asti keho mahan gunan. There is one good quality about Kali, that kirtanat krishna sangasya mukta sangha param brajet, that before, above all these defects, there is one good quality there, kirtanat eva krishnasya. If you simply chant Krishna's holy name, that is that will destroy all our other bad things, what we have got with us, and we will be able to go back to Krishna. Go back to Krishna. And that is the last message from Bhagavatam, just to chant the holy name of Krishna. And only thing Bhagavatam is telling us, don't forget to chant the holy name. Whatever we may forget in life, but this is the only hope we have. That is what this chapter is saying to us. The only hope is Krishna's holy name. Holy name. So, and that too should be chanted without any shyness, without any difficulty, because it is like that Kali Yugam was discussed in the second chapter, with that conclusion. So in the second chapter, that was the conclusion. After talking about all the evil effects of Kali Yugam, Śrīla Brahmarṣī concludes that, saying this, that just chant the holy name in this age of Kali, and that is the only protection in this age. There is no other protection. And then after that, in the next few chapters, he is preparing for Parīkṣit Mahārāja's departure from this world. That is the next three, four, five chapters. First chapter talks about the Somamsha Nirūpaṇam. That means after Krishna's departure, the different kings who ruled the planet after that, that is the Lunar dynasty, the subsequent kings after Krishna's time, Vajranapa and many others followed by them. And then second chapter spoke about Kali Yugam and the after evil effects of the Kali on us and the solution for that. Śrīla Brahmarṣī says the only protection we have is just to chant the holy name of Krishna. And from third, fourth and fifth chapter is preparing Parīkṣit for departure from here. So in preparation to that, how did he start that? He said that, like yesterday we saw this, that initially they had to talk about the different kinds of devastations that happens. How the devastation happens. So yesterday when we mentioned this, we talked about this Satyayugam, Tridayugam, Dwaparayugam, Kaliyugam and their qualities. What is important to remember there is that suppose in a person goodness develops, Satyugunam develops in a person, then you can say that person is in the Satyayugam. You see that? It's not based on the world conditions outside. If in a person, if the mode of goodness builds up, somehow or the other, if he has built a mode of goodness, he is in Satyayugam. He lives in the Satyayugam. And if the Rajogunam builds up strongly, then you can say he is in the Tridayugam. That is how the gunam changes the yugam. The gunam changes the different yugam in this way. If a satugunam builds up in a person, he is in the satyugam. If rajogunam builds up in a person, he is in the tradayugam. If rajogunam and tamogunam builds up in a person, he is in the dwaparayugam. And similarly, if tamogunam builds up in a person, he is in kaliyugam. That is the way it is to be seen. Not like otherwise we think that our season is changing. So from now the date, we look at the date and start saying Kali Yuga has started from this day. Although generally it's spoken that after Krishna's departure, these qualities will come down. But how does the yugam change? Nothing is changing in the world. What changes is the modes of nature. So when the lower modes of nature takes over, you can take it that the person, you are in Kali Yuga. We are in Kali Yuga. That is a symptom of that. So, when you look at it that way, you can see that the basis on which the change of yugam is depending on us. Depends on us. Nowadays people say, oh, it's all Kali Yugam anyway, we can't do anything about it. That is not true. The Kali Yugam also, there is hope. If we cultivate Satyugunam, then we live in Satyugunam and that is Satyugam. Similarly, if you cultivate Rajogunam, it goes into Tradayugam. Rajogunam and Tamogunam develops into Dwaparayugam. And if there is excessive Tamogunam, that is Kaliyugam. Of course, there are certain things in the nature you can observe how it has an effect on us, on the Kaliyugam. So it is in that connection that Shubhra Maharshi told Parikshit that there are four kinds of devastations, isn't it? He's preparing him for the self-realization, in other words. That is how these devastations were spoken. The Nityam, Naimityam, Prakritam, Atyandiyam, four kinds of devastations were spoken in the Bhagavadam at this point in time. Just preparing Parikshit for liberation. Parikshit for liberation. Because liberation can only be understood in terms of devastations. That is the relationship there. For example, yesterday we were talking about that he mentioned there in the third chapter, that is the 49th verse, he said, Tasmal sarvalpana rajan hridistam kuru keshavam mriyamano vyavahitam tado yasi parangadim. Time has come to give up this body, and therefore, by all ways, establish Krishna in the heart. Hridistam kuru keshavam. Establish Krishna who is in the heart. Mriyamano vivahidam tato yasi parangadim. Then you will go back to the final destination. And so we have seen there that these four devastations, you will understand why it is these devastations are connected with liberation. Liberation. We saw yesterday, Atyandiyam, the ultimate liberation is when you realize the self. That is what is called final devastation. Atyandiya pralayam. Atyandiya pralayam means final devastation. Because when final devastation, generally we think in terms of the whole planet getting filled with water or under fire, things. But more than that, Atyandiya pralayam means ultimate devastation is when we realize the self, because then this creation is not existing anymore for us. We have come out of this Maya. When you get released from Maya or Prakriti, that is what is called final devastation. With that, Prakriti is over, it's finished. Because devastation is happening where? It's happening in the Prakriti, is it not? Devastation is happening in the Prakriti. When we say four kinds of devastation exist, where is the devastation happening? It's happening in the Prakriti, in the material nature. Once you are released from the material nature, that is called ultimate devastation. There is no more devastation after that. You are released from the grips of material nature or the modes of nature. Or the modes of nature. That is how you have to understand the Bhagavatam. Otherwise, you will get a little difficulties there. Because Krishna is saying, Shubhra Maharshi is saying here that the if you remember, in the beginning when we started Srimad Bhagavatam, initially in the second canto, first time Shubhra Maharshi met Parikshit, and they are talking about it, and he told them that the Tasmal Sarvatmana Rajan, by all means chant the holy name of Krishna. That is how he started. And that time he said like that, to chant the whole name, Sarvatmana Rajan, Tasmal Sarvatmana Rajan, by all means chant the holy name of Krishna, Kirtana Krishna Sangasya, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, you will get released from here. He started the conversation like that. So at that time, here, now the 7 days have gone, and this time has come to go from here. Time has come to go from here. So, he has to show the quick way to get released from here, because the time is over for him. Therefore, here, what Shukra Maharshi has done, he has spoken to him about the knowledge of the self, and he gave him the passage through the process known as Sadyomukti. Sadyomukti and Kramamukti, there is two kinds of liberation which was discussed in the second canto. If you read second canto, you will see there. Sadyomukti and Kramamukti. Sadyomukti means instantaneous liberation from here. Not passing through the higher planets, Brahmalokam and all that. Straight away getting released from this body once for all. Doesn't have to come back again. So that is called a Sadhyamukti. Kramamukti means passing through higher planetary system finally to Brahma, and when Brahma goes back, you go back with Brahma to the spiritual world. That is the Kramamukti, gradual liberation. One is instantaneous liberation, the other one is gradual liberation. There will be a lot of people, we were thinking, now which one is ours, isn't it? You'll be thinking that. We are not even interested in the Mukti. That is the truth. We do not care whether it is Sadhyamukti or Kramamukti, whatever. But Bhagavatam is discussing all about liberation. What kind of liberation is one interested? So therefore these two options were spoken, Sadhyamukti and Kramamukti, in the second canto, when Shukha Brahmarshi started the conversation with Parikshit, just right at the beginning. Variyanya Shadam Prashnam, it begins from there. So now it is time has come now. 7 days are over and the time has come to leave. So Shukha Brahmarshi thought now that at this time Parikshit should have Sadhyamukti rather than the Kramamukti. So therefore, because time is run out and he has decided to give him the knowledge of the self and free him from this material existence once for all and release him from the grips of the Prakriti, from the modes of material nature. So, it is in that situation that these four kinds of devastations have to be spoken to get that clarity in him. Because this is necessary. Why? Many people will have this question, who created this world and when is this going to end? This world going to come to an end? So, it is in that time that, because you can see in the third chapter of this 12th canto, in the third chapter, Parikshit asks that question. Parikshit is asking that question. That what did he say? He says, Yugani Yugadharmamcha, 17th verse. Parikshit is asking the question, Yugani Yugadharmamcha Manam Pralaya Kalpayoho Kalase Ishwari Rubasa Gedim Vishnor Mahalmana. That was the question from Parikshit. That what will happen? That in different yugas, how things will change. And after all, the change in the yugam is based on the time factor mentioned there. And time is completely, is Krishna's another form, time. Kala Sarubam, isn't it? Kala Osmi, he says. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Kala Osmi, I am time. So, therefore, when the time is changing, it should be understood as the Krishna's form is changing. Krishna's nature is changing. The way Krishna is controlling this world is changing. Due to the modes of nature, it is changing. And that is why, when the Kali Yuga is influencing us heavily, our bhakti and faith in the Shastram and surrender to Krishna, all these things will come down. All these things will come down. So, what should we do when the influence of Kali is strong in us? And can you explain that to us in more detail? Asked Parikshit to Sukadeva Goswami. That is what that question. Yugani Vadharmamscha Manam Pralaya Kalpayoho Kalasi Ishwari Rubasya Gadim Vishnor Mahalmana. That was the question from Parikshit. What should one do in this age of Kali? What should general class of people do? Because the influence of Kali is so strong, and what will happen to them? How should they deal with that situation? So, because that question came up, and in answer to that, Shukha Brahmarshi spoke about these four kinds of devastations. What will happen? Nityam, Naimityam, Prakritam, Atyantiyam. The four kinds of devastations. Just prior to that, Shukha Brahmarshi has already said to him that Katha imamste kathita mahiyasam, the 14th verse, Vitaya lokesha yashapare yusham vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho vajo vibhudir nadu paramarthyam. Remember, there was in the Bhagavatam, there are twin verses. First referring to the spiritual master, twin verses referring to Krishna, and now lastly twin verses referring to Bhagavatam. That is one of those verses. And the verse after that, those two verses are together. Katha imaste kathitha mahiyasam vidaya logeshe yasha pareyusham vidyana vairagya vivakshaya vibho vajo vibhudu nadu paramarthim. That verse and the verse immediately after that, yasuttama shloka guna anuvadal sangiyade abhishnamangal amangalagna tameva nityam shunuyad abhishnam krishna yamalam bhaktim abhip samanam. Even though in the age of Kali, katha imaste kadhita mahiyasam vidaya logeshe yasha pareyusham, he mentioned there that the all purpose of saying to Parikshit, the life of all the great personalities who ruled this planet at different times, and purpose of saying that was to show to us that gratification of senses and happiness from this world is very, very limited. To make us aware of that. That the happiness that you will get from sense enjoyment and the happiness that's available in this world is very limited. Very, very limited. And therefore, somehow or the other, vairagya must develop. It is for that purpose all the stories were spoken, says Shukam Brahmarshi here. Katha imaste kadhita mahiyasam vidaya logeshu yasha pareyusham. Only for this purpose, vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho. For the sake of knowledge and renunciation, vajo vibhudir nadu paramarthyam. All these things were spoken. Otherwise, all these things are not real. They are not real. They are not real in the sense that it doesn't have any particular use to us. Hearing the history of so many kings in the past, the benefit what we have to get from there is to observe this, that these great personalities, they had come here to control the earth and to live here with the highest grade of enjoyment, but they also had to go from here. They also couldn't stay here. Just to show to us that the nature of this material world is temporary, and knowing well, good intelligence to tell us that it is not worthwhile trying to establish ourselves here. It's not going to work, to prove that point. Vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho. That is the goal behind that. Vajo vibhudir nadu paramarthyam. Do not take all this as absolute, he said. Because they have all come and gone. They have come and gone. And that list, if you look at, you will see Prithu, Puriravas, Gadhi, Nahusha, Bharata, Arjuna, and Mandhadav, Sagaro, Parashuram, Katwanga, Dunduha, Raghu, an impressive list of the great souls, or the great kings who appeared in the solar and lunar dynasties. That's what is listed there. And Bhumidevi is saying there, they have all come here, they have all tried to settle down here, establish themselves, but no, they also could not stay. They also had to go. So from them, we have to learn this, for us to learn that nothing is permanent here. Even personalities like them couldn't stay. So what chance have we got to make ourselves happy here? That will not happen. To prove to us that. That's why it was spoken there. And then immediately after that, the next verse, yastuttamash, that is the 15th verse, yastuttamash loga guna anivadal sangiyade abhishnamangalagna tamem nityam shunuyad abhishnam krishnevalam bhaktim abhip samanam. Therefore, what should the people take serious note of? That to hear about Krishna. To hear about Krishna, that's the only business we have in this world. To hear about Krishna. And whose glories, Krishna, whose glories which the devotees are always talking about? And desire for that bhakti. Shri Krishna Pada Bhakti, or in other words, Krishna Consciousness. That is the only thing that one should be looking for in this world. That is how those two verses are connected. In the first verse it says, Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho, to develop renunciation and knowledge. And then what is that knowledge? Knowledge is this, that tamevantim shriyat habeshnam krishnayamalam bhaktim abhipsamana. Somehow the other build up bhakti in the heart. That's the only thing business we have here as far as Srimad Bhagavatam is concerned. Which means to hear about Krishna. All the time to hear about Krishna one way or the other. And therefore the rishis have... So those two verses are together. That is about Bhagavatam. These two verses are about the Bhagavatam. About Krishna, similarly two verses spoken. Is it not? Two verses were spoken about Krishna. What was that? Deyam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham tirthaspadam shivavirinjanudam sharanyam mrityartiham pranadabalabhavabdivodam vande mahapurushade charanaravindam tektvasudupsida surepsida rajyalakshmim dharmishtam aryavajasayadaga dharanyam mayamrugam daidayipsidamanyodhaval vande mahapurushade charanaravindam. Those two verses refers to Krishna and Ramachandra. Those two forms should be worshipped. Krishna and Ramachandra. Krishna is the first one. Dhyayam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham tirthaspadam. Then tektva sudupsada surepsida rajyalakshmim dharmishtam aryavajasa yadagadharanam. You will see that in the 11th canto. Those two verses. So those two verses about Krishna. These two verses about Bhagavatam. And the earlier, in the beginning, those two verses, which one? Yam pravrajanda maruveda mabeda krityam dvaibhayano virahaka adharam ajuhavam putra ididan maidayattaravo bhinedutam sarvabhoda hridayam unimana dosmi yaswanubhavam akhila shrutisaramegam adhyalma divam aditi irshadam tamondham samsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam tam vyasaso inumubayami gurum puninam. Those two verses about Shukabrahmarshi, other two verses about Krishna, and finally these two verses about Bhagavatam. This is how they are called Yugmakam. In the Bhagavatam they call it as Yugmakam. Yugmakam means twin verses. You can't separate them. They are together always. These two verses are together. So after that, Parikshit asked this question, that what will happen in this yugam, how things will change. It was at that time that Shuka Brahmarshi started discussing these four kinds of devastation. So the first devastation is what they call as the that the Naimitiya Pralaya. Naimitiya Pralaya means that, you know the calculations, that one day of Lord Brahma, there is 1000 Chaturyugam. 1000 Chaturyugam is one day of Lord Brahma. One Chaturyuga means Kritayugam, Tridayugam, Dwaparayugam, Kali. This is one Chaturyugam. And 1000 of these Chaturyugams makes one day of Lord Brahma. And in this 1000 Chaturyugam, which is one day of Lord Brahma, is called a Kalpa. A same amount of time goes as his night time then. One day, one night. That is his night time. One daytime, one night time. So, that period of time, which is the night time, that is the devastation period. What is called as Naimitiya Pralaya. Brahma's night time. Brahma's night time. But this, Brahma's one day time itself is so long. 14 Manus appear in that time. 14 Manus appear in the one day of Lord Brahma. So, in Bho Manu onwards, we have seen that. So, therefore, that... night time when it comes, at that time all the three planetary systems does not exist and they go in devastation, and that is called Naimitiya Pralayam. Naimitiya Pralayam it is referred to. So that is Naimitiya Pralayam. Then we have got what is known as the Prakrita Pralayam. Prakrita Pralayam means that when Brahma's life is over, what will happen is all the things that has come created before, like Mahatattvam, Ahankaram, Tanmatra, the five material elements, and all of them, five Tanmatra, Ahankaram and Mahatattvam. Five Tanmatra means the Sushma form or the subtle form of the five material elements. Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. Sound, touch, form, taste and smell. the subtle form of that. They, along with the false ego, with the ahankaram, and with the mahatattvam, so 5 plus 2, 7, all of them will go and dissolves in the mula pragrati, maya, where it came from. Maya is mula pragrati. From maya, it has come and will go back to maya and dissolve there. And that is called prakrita pralayam. Prakrita pralayam. That is based on the Sankhyam. Sankhyam talks about that. So in prakrita pralayam or this devastation, so many things will happen. And finally, he spoke about atyandika pralayam. Atyandika pralayam is when you are released from the grips of maya completely. You don't have to come back again. So, that's why yesterday we mentioned this, that buddhir jagaranam sopna sushupti rejicho chyade maya matra idam rajan nanatum pratyagalpani. So, while discussing this, we have seen that in the fourth chapter, he mentioned about these four plans, and Brahmi, Naimityam, and then Dibarade Tvadikrande Brahmana Parameshtina Tada Pragrade Sapta Kalpade Pralayavai. So these pralayam, that the that in the Naimitya pralayam, what Shiva Brahmarshi says here, Sri Rajari Swamiji says here, that Lord Narayana, he brings even Lord Brahma towards him, because during the Brahma night time, and Lord Narayana lies on the Adishesha, and at that time Brahma also lies there in that night time. So at that point, Brahma is not separated from Narayana. And Shridhara Swami says it is okay to accept that understanding. Because here, when he mentioned about these four kinds of devastations, he says there that the Brahma also, his lifespan is defined already, isn't it? He has got 100 years life, which comes to a very large period of time compared to our lifespan. And prakrita pralayam, we have seen that the five subtle elements, pancha tanmatras, mahatattvam, ahankaram, if they all go and dissolve in maya, that is called prakrita pralayam. That's called prakrita pralayam. Similarly, atyandika pralayam is once we completely gets released from the grip of maya. When we are totally released from maya, that is called atyandika pralayam. Atyandiyam, ultimate devastation. Ultimate devastations. So, in this way, also mentions there, there's about many verses which is talking about that. What will happen at that time, at the time of prakrita pralayam? So only by self-realization you will have ultimate liberation from here, from the grips of maya. Similarly, there's also a long description about that. What will happen at that time? Jagrat, Satnam, Sushupti, these three states, Vishwan, Taijasam, Prajnam, that identification of the self at that time, all these things are not real. They are not real. Once we come out of that, Avastatrayam, we are free from Avastatrayam. Avastatrayam means to be within these three states, Jagrat, Satnam, Sushupti. And he also mentions here, that yet samanya viveshabhya ubalabhyade sa brahmam anyonya vabhashayal sarvam adyanta vastu yat. That the vigaram that changes, that means we are referred to as Pratyagalma. That's the title used in the Bhagavatam, Pratyagalma. Pratyagalma means Antaryami, who is present inside. He is coming through this body, mind and the senses to the world and experiencing the world. That is what, who is called Pratyagalma. This is the same used in the Kathopanishad also. They use the same word. And there, in Vyavaharam, you experience his presence there, but in nature, he has the same nature of the Paramatma or Antaryami inside. He is no different from them. So, there is a lots of very heavy verses there in that chapter, which is pretty Gheno yada arka prabhavo vidiryade chakshusvarupam ravimikshade tada yada ahangara upadira almano jinyasayana shani tarhyanusmare. They gave this example that the sun produces the clouds and that clouds covers us, the sun. The clouds cover us in seeing the sun. But the clouds have come from the sun itself, isn't it? Similarly, when through spiritual life, self-inquiry and bhakti, Krishna consciousness, when we realize who we are and our ego, false ego, has completely disappeared from us, at that time we will realize the self. So, destroying this ahangaram is not easy. When we read these verses, you can understand that when the ahankaram completely dies, when it dies completely goes away, when ahankaram goes away, and through self-inquiry and bhakti, we realize who we are, only at that time this freedom from the maya will happen. That's the stage when we get released from the prakriti or from maya. Ghano yad arka prabhavo vidhiryade chakshusvarupam ravi ikshade tada yada ahangara upadhi almano jinyasaya nashyadi tarhyanusmaret. What we have to know is that jivatvam, or when we address ourselves as jiva, what is that jiva? Jiva, we call ourselves as due to the presence of ahangaram inside. Is it not? Ahangaram is our identity at the moment. Our identity at the moment is ahangaram. Aham. That ahamkaram it is. Not aham bodham, ahangaram. So, ahangaram, till it goes away, there is no possibility of knowing who we are. It will not happen. And once this ahangaram goes away, whatever we do or whatever we say, it is on a different level altogether. Like this question came up in the Bhagavatam. When Krishna associated with the gopis, Parikshit Maharaj asked this question to Shuka Brahmarshi. In the 10th canto you will see that question. Why did Krishna come, who is come here to establish dharmam here, has acted in a way which does not comply with the morals of this world? Like gopis have, Krishna has danced with the gopis who are married women, and all these things what Krishna has done, how can we understand that? How can we justify that? What did Shuka Brahmarshi say at that time to them? To Parikshit. That's an important statement in the Bhagavatam. Ishwaranam vajam satyam. The position of Krishna, Balaram, Shiva are different than our position here. We are doing things with ahangaram in us. They don't have ahangaram. That is why whatever they do here, tejiya samna doshaya, you should not find fault with them. That's the principle. What they say to us, we have to accept. What they do, we are not allowed to imitate. It's a very important principle. That is why often people will think when they read Bhagavatam, so many interesting things spoken there. For example, Krishna is dancing with the gopis. Lord Balaram likes to drink. He's very fond of drinking. His eyes are copper reddish sometimes with drinking. People ask this question, God is drinking all the time. Yes, sir. Lord Shiva is sitting there with Sri Parvati on the lap. And Sri Parvati is naked. And Shiva is sitting there. And Chitravedu made the mistake. Went there and saw fault in Shiva. Similarly, people say that Balaram is drinking and he is your God, he says. Krishna is dancing with the gopis. We find fault there as well. Shubrahma, she says there, you have to always remember one thing. He said, neither Balaram, nor Krishna, nor Lord Shiva, any of them have any false ego in them. They don't have Ahankaram inside. So whatever that is happening is in no way affecting them. When you have Ahankaram inside, whatever activities we do will have a substantial effect inside. It will create vasanas inside. With Ahankaram, any karma that is performed, it will create vasanas inside. It will have ragam dvesham inside. Whereas activities of Shiva, activities of Balaram, activities of Krishna is free from that problem. And therefore, whatever actions they do, we have no right to criticize because we have Ahankaram, they do not have Ahankaram inside. That is a big difference. Ishwaranam Majam Satyam says, what they tell us is the truth. But it is not necessary, always their activities need not match their words. They are allowed that because they are acting without Ahankaram. That's the principle. I don't know whether you understand the point. Because they are acting without Ahankaram, whatever actions they are performing need not match with their words. Ishwaranam Vajam Satyam. What they tell us is the truth. The reason being, there is no Ahankaram inside. Whereas we have because Ahankaram inside, we can't imitate them. That is the difference. That is the difference. Always you will see in the Bhagavatam in many, many instances, Balaram drinking. And we start thinking, what, Balaram is having a good time? And Shiva is having a great time? Krishna is having a great time? Adjust these things in our mind. It is very difficult, is it not? So that is why most of the people, because they don't understand, they don't listen to what Shukumbhra Maharshi is saying here to us. Sudeva Goswami is telling us that their words and their actions not necessarily match. It's not important. Because there is no Ahankaram there. Whatever they do, they are not affected by that. Whereas if we do the same thing, what they are doing, we will be affected by that. That's the problem. Ishwaranam Vacham Satyam. So, that is where, till the Ahankaram goes away, whatever activities we do have a damaging effect on us. So, it was said that that the Nityada Sarvabhudanam Brahmadinam Parandama Ulpati Pralaya Vegam Sushmatyam Samprajakshare. That Nitya Pralayam, what they are talking about that is that, you see, the body, for example, this Nitya Pralayam, the four Pralayam, four devastations we have spoken. Naimityam, Prakritam, Atyantikam, Nityam. The four kinds of devastation. So what is this Nitya Pralayam? Nitya Pralayam means on a daily basis, what's happening? Nothing here is permanent, isn't it? This body is not permanent. Like the body you are seeing now, this moment is not the body the next moment. It's already gone, changed. So many things are all... So slowly change is happening. And we call ourselves with a name and form. That name and form is also not permanent. From birth to death, constantly the body is changing. And because that body is changing, that's called a devastation. Like if you look at the river is flowing. The water you are seeing now is not the water the next moment. That water has gone. But we still call it as the same river. But its form has changed. The water has already left, another water has come, and that water is gone, some other water has come. So constantly flowing water is going, and we call that as a river. Similarly, this body also is not what we see. It's not like this all the time. It's changing, constantly changing from childhood to boyhood, youthhood, old age, and then finally it's gone. So this change that's happening continuously in this body is called Nityapralaya. Daily devastation it is. On a daily basis, that devastation is happening. So these four kinds of devastation we have to understand before we go into Parikshit's liberation. What it's meant by liberation. So it is in that state that he is talking to him that Nityo Naimityashchaiva Tatha Prakritiko Layam Atyandigascha Kathida Kalasya Gadiri Drishi. So because Parikshit asked about the time factor, to explain time, this is how Shuka Brahmarshi explained that to Parikshit in form of the devastation. When he asked about the flow of time, what happens with the time, he tried to explain that, tried to understand time in this way, in the form of four kinds of devastation, in the form of Nityam, Naimittiyam, Prakritam, Atyandikam. That's the four words used in the Bhagavatam. Nityam means daily happening. Devastation is going on now, right at this moment. It's happening in us, is it not? The body is changing constantly. Only we may not notice it, but it is changing. Everybody accept that. The cells are dying, new cells are created and all that. But it is on its way out. All the bodies, everybody is on its way out, is it not? So that is Nityam, Nitya Pralayam. Atyandiya Pralayam is that Pralayam which happened, devastation that happens when you get completely released from body, once for all, and from Maya, Prakriti. Never to come back and to associate with Prakriti anymore. Prakriti can have no more control on you after that. That means Prakriti cannot prepare another body for you, that state. That is called final devastations. Final devastations. Then Prakritam and Naimittikam we have seen. That in Prakritam what will happen is that we have talked about that the when Brahma's lifespan is over, those two pralayam, Prakritam pralayam and Naimittika pralayam, when Brahma's lifespan is over, the five subtle elements, Shabda Sparsha Rupa Rasa Gandha, sound, touch, form, taste and smell, the subtle elements, along with Mahatattvam and Ahangaram, all of these eight things. Remember Krishna said that in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhumira Palalo Vayu Khamano Buddhirevaja Ahangare Diyame Bhina Prakriti Rashtaha. Those eight things goes back and dissolves in the Prakriti. That is what is called Prakrita Pralayam. What is called? Prakrita Pralayam. And then the other one we have seen that in a day of Lord Brahma, in a day of Lord Brahma, 1000 Chaturyugam, 14 Manus appear, and after that, one day of Lord Brahma, Brahma has another night. During that time, what happens? That is what is known as the Naimittiya Pralaya. So those four kinds of devastation you have to understand from the way Shastram talking about that. Nityam, Naimittiyam, Prakritam, Atyandiyam. Nitya Pralayam is what's happening now. We are in the Nitya Pralayam stage now. Constantly body is changing and it's on its way out. Devastation will happen and it's gone. Nitya Pralayam. Then Naimittiya Pralayam is the one which we talked about, that day of Lord Brahma is over, and when the night time comes of Lord Brahma, at that time what will happen? This whole night, like 1000 Chaturyugam, it likes for the night time of Lord Brahma. At that time what will happen to us? When we dissolve ourselves. Remember that this has happened in the case of Narada Maharshi. Sri Narada Maharshi came here and then he has to leave his body, isn't it? When the rishi sages told him, who are performing Chaturmasyam, they told Narada Maharshi that you will, by hearing Krishna's pastimes, you will get an opportunity to see Krishna. And Narada Muni did get an opportunity to see Krishna, and Krishna told him that in this lifetime, you won't see me again. And he goes back to Lord Brahma. And he stays with Brahma, and he had to stay with Brahma whole night time with him. And when the day began again, Brahma starts the creation at that time. So the whole night time, we all go back and stay with Brahma. And the next time, when the next day comes in Lord Brahma, he starts creation again. At that time, all the living entities who are gone to Brahma, they all come back again. But when they come back, if you are not liberated, you will come back with the same vasanas what was there. So you will get a body accordingly. Sri Narada Maharshi's case, what happened? Sri Narada Maharshi goes back, but because of Krishna's grace, Narada Maharshi says, when I came back, after that, in the next Kalpam, Kalpam is day of Lord Brahma, in the next day when he came back, I have got this body, he says. Which body? Narada Maharshi's body. Prior to that, he was not Narada Maharshi. He was a son of a servant maid who was doing service in so many different houses. And Sri Narada Maharshi had a different life altogether. But he said when he went back to Brahma, and then when he came back from Brahma, now he says, I've got this body, what I have now. He says to Vedavyas. That is when he tells Vedavyas to write Bhagavatam. Remember that? In the first canto, fifth chapter, you will notice. So these devastations has this changes what's happening there. So it is after that that the four kinds of devastations were spoken, and the different effects of that on the people, that was also spoken. And then he mentions there that important thing is, the most fortunate person is that one who somehow with proper self-inquiry and bhakti and realization able to cut through that ignorance, cut through the ignorance and completely destroy that ego inside and realize the self. That person is the most fortunate one, says Srila Prabhupada Maharshi. If you look at the fourth chapter, you will see there these words. Fourth chapter, and the verse is 34, I think.
मायामयं अहंगरणं आत्मबंधनं चित्वा अच्युदाल्प अनुभव अवतिष्ठते तमाहु आत्यंतियमंग संप्लवम्.
That is that statement. यदैवमेतेन विवेकहेतिनां
मायामय अहंगरणं आत्मबंधनं चित्वा अच्युदाल्प अनुभव अवतिष्ठते तमाहु Atyandiyamanga samplavam.
Through self-inquiry and self-realization process, this ahankaram, what is inside, when you completely destroy that and break away from the grip of maya, and when you get established yourself in your own position as Atma, that is what is the highest realization, he says, and that is what is called ultimate devastation. Ultimate devastation. After saying all that, he is talking about fifth chapter. Fifth chapter is called Brahmopadesham. That is what it is called. The chapter is called Brahmopadesham. So, how Parikshit's fear of Tatraga. Tatraga was going to come and bite him, isn't it? So he was fearful about that.
through this chapter, these verses, how it was taken away from Parikshit by Shuka Brahmarshi. Sukadeva Goswami, what he did. That he says, Atra anuvarnyate bhishtam vishwalpa bhagavan hari yasya prasadajo brahma rudra krodha savalbhavaha. That Lord Brahma, who has come from Atrani Varnade Abhishtam Vishwalpa Bhagavan Hari. From Krishna's smile, Brahma was born. And from Krishna's anger, Shiva was born. Yasya Prasadajo Brahma Rudra Krodha Samalbhava. From Krishna's anger, Shiva was born. From Krishna's smile, prasadam, Brahma was born. Brahma was born. But because they were born from these two different modes, they are not independent either. And if you study about Hari, now the word used is Hari. Not Hari is the word used, not Krishna. Or Vishnu, or Narayana, Hari. Hari is the word used there. Vishwalma Bhagavan Hari, who is the soul of all living entities, as Antaryami, present in inside, and who takes away everything from us. That's how this word Hari has come. One who takes everything from us. One who takes away everything. Therefore, he is called Hari. Is it not? Hari, the word is used at that time in reference to one who takes everything from us. Not only the possessions, including this body, mind, intelligence, everything, Krishna takes away from us one day. Is it not? So that's why in the end of Bhagavatam also you will see that word used. The word used is Hari. Is it not? That you can see last words. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Bhava Pranashanam Pranamo Dukha Shamanam Tam Namami Harim Param. Hari, Hari, the word comes there. One who finally takes away everything from us. That means one who is capable of giving us our pure state, what we are actually. By taking away everything what we are not, that's what he takes away. We are not the body, we are not the mind, we are not the intelligence, we are not the ego. None of them is us. He takes us all that away from us and he gives us back what we are, which is our pure identity of the self that gives, comes to us. So here we have mentioned about this, that the in the Srimad Bhagavatam there is no other discussion except that the glories of Hari, glories of Hari. And from the Hari's Rajogunam came Brahma, and from Tamogunam came Rudra or Shiva. These names should not matter very much, because if you understand why it is identified with the Gunam. For example, this Ahangaram, what we refer to as Ahangaram. Ahangaram is what we, Lord Shiva's identity is with Aham Tattvam. Ahangaram or Aham Tattvam is Lord Shiva. And Rajoguna Vritti, from there Brahma has come. And here you will see in the second chapter verse, Tum tu Rajan Marishyedi Pashu Buddhi Mimam Jahi Na Jadaha Pragabudodhya Deha Vattvam Na Nangshesi. That first of all he says, give up this misunderstanding that you are going to die. He says, give up this misunderstanding that you are going to die. Because why you are thinking like that? Because you are not able to differentiate between the body and the self, real self. Between the body and the real self, that differentiation is not happening inside you. Therefore, you have this fear of death. Fear of death. And that lack of discrimination first has to go. Because there is no discrimination, there is fear of death. happening. And he says to him again, Tomtu Rajan Marishedi Pashubuddhim Imam Jahi Na Jadaha Praga Bodhodhyam Dehavatvam Na Nangshesi. Dehavatvam Na Nangshesi. That because if something was not there before, and if it was born later, that thing will die. That is according to Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? What does Bhagavad Gita say? That verse, that is why that verse is important. Which one? Nasado vidyate bhav. It is on that principle it is spoken here. See that importance of the verse. If something that has taken birth later, that thing will die. But Atma inside has never taken birth. It never had any birth. So therefore he says here that what was there before, and then it was born sometime along the line, body, in other words. Sometime along the line this body was born. That will die. That you can't stop that. And that body will die, but you were there even before this body was born. Even before this body was created, you were there. Body has come somewhere along the line, and then it will go after a while. And then another one may come, and that will also go. But because you have identifying with this body, therefore you are fearful of death. But if you are not identifying with this body, instead identifying with yourself, then there is no such thing called death. And when the body dies, you don't die. You still exist. That is what he is saying here. Tomtu Rajan Marishedi Pashubuddhi Mimam Jahi Na Jadaha Pragabudodhyam Dehavatvam Na Nangshyasi. Why we are repeating this again and again is, we will also forget this. Is it not? We will hear now, but then after 2 minutes again we will go back to the body and start saying, oh, I got the sickness, I am going to die, I am going to this, I am going to that. We will repeat, like, because of the adhyasam. That's what's called adhyasam. Adhyasam means that something we got used to in our previous life. Na bhavishyasi bhudhatvam putra pautradi rupavan bijam anguirava dehadir vidirikto yathanala. He gives some examples here to understand this better. What he's saying here is that Shukha Brahmarshi's logic you have to understand. Only then you will appreciate what he's saying. His logic is that suppose you have a seed, you have planted a seed. From there a huge banyan tree has come out. And that tree will die eventually. But from one seed of that tree, another banyan tree can come. Is it not? From one small banyan tree seed, a huge banyan tree comes. And that banyan tree gives loads of fruits. In that, in each fruit, there is many, many seeds. If you get one seed out of one fruit and plant it, from that seed alone, another huge banyan tree can come. So, what he is saying to us, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying, don't get too much affected by this body, because this body is like this banyan tree. It has come, it will go. And then we are capable of creating another body like this again afterwards. So from the seed it sprouts and a plant is coming or a tree is coming. And this is normal, he says, with the body. That's the nature of the body. But Atma, you can't do that. With the Atma, you can't do this, what you can do with the body. Body you can plant, another plant tree will come out, or another new body will come. And from this body, other bodies will come. And from that body, again other bodies will come. So that means even if this body goes away, the son or daughter will be there present in this world. And when they die, another son or daughter may come through them. This is what goes on here, isn't it? And we take that very seriously. Shukha Brahmarshi is saying, don't take that very seriously. That's nothing important, he says. This is just comparing that with the tree. The tree you plant the seed, a huge banyan tree comes up. After, say, 500 years, that banyan tree drops. And there are so many seeds in that. Fruits and seeds in that. And if some seed flows off and falls somewhere, it will also, another tree will come out from that. The body is like that. Body will come, body will go. Body will come, body will go. So similarly, don't identify with that body. Because it's like this, he says, that the fire that is in the firewood. Firewood is, when you look at the firewood, you don't see the fire there. But when you set fire to the firewood, you see the fire then, not the wood anymore. It's the fire that you see there. And, but at the same time, the fire is different from the wood. When you look at the wood, there is only wood there. But when the fire catches, there's only fire there, wood goes away, wood disappears. Similarly, you are always separate from the body. You are never the body. You're always separate from the body. That is what he is saying there. That is his logic here. That na bhavishyasi bhutva tvam putra pautradi rupavan bijam anguravad dehad avyadirikto yathanala bijanguravad dehadir vyadirikto yathanala. That is his logic, which is a very sound logic, provided you accept what he is saying. You can't, that depends on, that is because our education is the problem. That comes against it. We can only see what, as I said so many times, for us, what we see with our eyes is the only truth. This is our greatest problem. And it requires very strong effort to come out of this illusion. What we see is the only truth. Because that is on that basis we are accepting this body. Isn't it? Because I am seeing only the body. That's our problem. Avidya it is. Avidya is how deep-rooted that avidya inside us. We can't accept anything what we are not seeing. What can you do? When we discuss Panchamaskandam, the fifth canto, this problem will come all the time. Shobhramarshi is saying, there is Jambudvipam, Plaksham, Shalmali, Kravanjam, Pushkaram, so many places he is talking about and we can't see anything. And then we are saying everything is wrong in the Bhagavatam. We can't accept it. What can we do? And that is why, and don't study Bhagavatam to understand geography. You will get into trouble. It is not a geographical text. Bhagavatam is not a... Many people have this misunderstanding that we will understand the geography through Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is not a geographical text. Ajahn Swamiji says about this, he said, you study Vedic literature for only one purpose, that is Adindriya Jnanam. Adindriya Jnanam means knowledge beyond your senses. What senses cannot get you, that knowledge, if you are looking for, come to Vedic literature. But don't come to Vedic literature. Most of the people are doing this mistake, is it not? They are comparing what the science is saying and then saying, is it, does it match with what Bhagavatam says? If it is matching, we tell everybody, look, our Bhagavatam has told this 5,000 years ago. But Bhagavatam is least interested in what the science is saying. Because Bhagavatam is all about Adindriya Jnanam. Adindriya means that knowledge beyond our senses. Beyond our senses. That is, if you want that knowledge, come to Vedic literature. That is Acharya Swamiji's words on that. Which you cannot, it is always in the Vedam that is very clear. They talk about this. That, evam vadandi vedena tasmal vedasya pratyaksha animityeva yastu upayo na vidyate. Rigvedam verse it is. Pratyakshena animityeva. What that is not possible by direct perception or by inference. Most of this knowledge is either these two, isn't it? Science is doing exactly the same thing, either through direct perception or through inference, anumanam. Pratyakshena animityeva yastu upayam na vidyate. By which you cannot know, pratyaksha animityeva yastu upayam na vidyate. Tasmal vadandi vedena, that Vedam will talk about that knowledge. Evam vadanti vedena tasmal vedasya vedada. Vedam is known for that. Vedam, you shouldn't take Vedam and start checking it out whether it is based, matching with every conclusion what the science is saying to us. That will be a big mistake. That is why we say, fifth canto and all, when you read, there's so many things spoken there. And if you think that that's all should match with the science, that will be a big mistake. It won't match. It won't. It won't match. Because Vedavyas had no intention to teach geography to us. If you want to study geography, then there are so many other books available. We have so much available now on geography, isn't it? Well, if that is what is interesting you, but this is that knowledge which is above the knowledge of the senses. About the knowledge of senses. It's a bit difficult. You can see many, many devotees also taking in that way, in this way, going in this direction, trying to match science and the. That's because too much of science has gone into their head. That's where the problem started. They thought that science is something like a high knowledge or something in their head. Some illusion has got in due to higher education in that way. And it is the same thing that's bothering all of us in the same way. Whereas acharyas and the great scholars of the Vedic tradition, they don't consider science important at all. As far as they are concerned, science is a waste of time. They look at it. Completely as a waste of time. Because it's not giving you any understanding of the higher truth. Fortunately, the time when the rishis lived here, they didn't have science. So they were not infected with that. They were fortunate. And they were able to think freely about it. And that is why in much deeper level, their realizations had come. When you read Upanishads, you see that, how realized they were about the truth. Whereas we are still hovering on this thing called the science and wasting our time on that. We'll never get to know the truth in this way. It's never going to happen. This will go on like this, research, new projects, more money, and a lot of people's livelihood. Nothing else will happen from that. It's not very proper to inject this understanding to people's head that science is knowledge. Science is not knowledge. Science is ignorance. Apara avidya, avidya. If you understand that principle, then it is easy to look at science in a different way. Abhara vidya, avidya, it's abhara vidya it is. Para vidya is not easily accessible like that through senses. Senses cannot help us in para vidya. Abhara vidya, avidya. Avidya it is. That avidya, we are giving it different shapes and different forms in the name of physics, chemistry, biology, this G, this G, that G, so many G. And then we're calling it, thinking that, oh, everything is, we are making good progress in that. There is no progress there. Where is the progress there? That is what Parikshit is being told by Sukadeva Goswami in the beginning itself. This one verse is sufficient to make us aware that our way of looking at things is wrong. It's not right. See, na bhavishyasi bhutva tvam putra pautra dirubhavan bijam anguravad deha der vedirikto yathanalaha. That bijam anguram. That is what it is. Bijam anguram. Bijam means seed. Anguram means the birth of the tree from that. And then again seed, again birth of the tree. Again seed, another birth of the tree. This is continuously going on. Like how putra pautradi rubhavan, children, grandchildren, children, grandchildren, children, grandchildren. In this way, it is going. And if you are looking for the truth there, you won't find any truth. Dehadar vedirito yatha anala. Just like he gives the example that fire is there in the wood. Fire is there in the wood, but fire is always separate from the wood. Fire is always separate from the wood. And similarly, we are always separate from the body. We are always separate from the body. That understanding has to come. There is no other way that we are separate from the body. Education is the only way for that in this way, in Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is telling us that if this understanding don't come, then your spiritual life is not going very far. That you are always separate from the body. It's not good enough, I'm not this body, saying that. But that in realization it has to happen. So that is why Sopne Yadha Shirachedam Panjatodyalmana Swayam Yasmal Pashiri Dehasya Tada Alma Ajo Amaraha. Sopne Yadha Shirachedam. Just like he is making, Shukra Brahmarshi is trying to tell us that look, the way you are looking at things, imagine in the dream state, somebody has come and cut your throat. Your head is gone. And you feel that you have been murdered. You have been killed in the dream state. It is only in a similar way, he says, in the vacant state, you are seeing this death exactly like that. Alma inside is seeing the death of the body in the same way. When we die in the normal life in this world, when we die, everybody is looking at it and say, oh, he died. How sad it is. He has left this world, he's died and gone. We all cry about him. But that person is not crying. Person who has left the body. He is looking at his own body and that is gone. He is still there who has left the body. Because we can't see him and we are seeing the body, we are crying. That's what he's saying here. And it is similar to, again to make us aware of this, that Sopne Yadha Shirachedam. Like your throat is cut and you have been killed. What happens then? You come back to vacant state and you see, oh, it was just a dream, we say. Although it has been cut in the dream, isn't it? Panjatvad Almanas Swayam. So, when this death is happening, the Alma or the self inside is seeing the body in the same way. In the same way what happened in the dream state. When it happened in the dream state, you didn't take very... Although at that point in time you experienced that, also you've been killed, but as soon as you come to vacant state, you realize that it was not real, was it? Because if it was real, you won't come back to vacant state again. If in the dream state, if you were killed, then you won't be coming back to the vacant state. The fact that you come back to the vacant state shows that the death, what happened in the dream state, was not real. So that is what Krishna Sukadeva Goswami is saying here. He is saying, Yasmal Pashyati Dehasya Tada Alma Ajo Amara. Similarly, Pashyati Dehasya. Similarly, look at the body. Alma knows at that time Ajo Amara. Aja means that he has no birth. Amara means it has no death, no birth and death. Ajam Amara. It is neither birth nor... Who knows this? Alma knows. When you die, you will know that there is no such thing called birth and death. But others won't know. Just to see the power of Maya. We write obituary. We conduct all kinds of things in this world, ceremonies. We think we... At the time of death, if we all some other, if we can get him back to spiritual world by giving him prasadam or this or whatever we can do, and then we console ourselves. I'm sure he has gone back home, back to Godhead. Console ourselves. Sukadeva Goswami is saying here that all this misunderstanding has to go. This is all done to keep ourselves happy. Why we are doing this? Not for the sake of the soul. Soul knows that he has no death. Why should he cry then? We have to cry because we think body is dying. Because we only know the body. That is the problem. We only know the body, isn't it? That's why we cry and then we make a feast and we say that we have all prayed for him. So many devotees chanted holy name and gave prasadam and tulsi leaf, maha water, garland from the deity. Everything has been given. So he must have gone back home, back to God. But that person hasn't even feeling the death. That one dress has gone, another dress is coming. For he, as far as he is concerned. This is the difference. That Sopnam Yadha Shirachedam panjatvadyalpana swayam yasmal pashyati dehasya tada almahya jomaraham svapneyadha shirachedam panjatvadyalpana swayam yasmal pashyati dehasya tada almahya jomaraham. Unless we understand, accept this, studying Bhagavatam is not good, because otherwise you will constantly live in the anxiety, in the fear. What will happen? What will happen? What will happen tomorrow? What will happen? Nothing will happen. What will happen is a lot of people will come, they will set fire to your dead body, and they'll beat the drum, and they'll go and have a feast. That's all it will happen. Nothing else is going to happen. You will be gone. You won't be there even to witness that. You'll be somewhere else. But we, for our happiness, we do all these things. For our satisfaction, we think that, oh, we have done everything what we have to do, and we feel happy about it. And then after 1 or 2 years, it's all forgotten. After 20, 30 years, you don't even remember what happened, who was there, even you don't know. He is gone. By about 60, 70, how much can you remember? You can't even remember everything what's happening today. What to talk about what happened 50, 60 years ago. So this is our life in this world, isn't it? That na bhavishyasi bodhatvam putra pautradi rupavan. All those fifth chapter is pure knowledge of the self. Self-realization means what? What that means? So whenever you have going, before you go for a funeral, just read this chapter and then go. So that you won't dance the same tune what everybody else is dancing there. This knowledge will get you through. Otherwise you will go there and cry with everybody else. And then you have to buy the card also, isn't it? To send it off, to tell them that how sad it is that. So many things we do in ignorance. Ajnanamiti. That's called avidya. Knowledge means to get out of this darkness, what is inside us, isn't it? So, na bhavishyasi bhūtātvam putra pautrādi rūpavān bījam anguravad dehādir vyatirikto yathānala. So, first thing you have to understand is, this knowledge is available in the Vedic literature. This knowledge. And don't try to bring it down to the level of science and experiment with it. It won't work. Because they have already told us, it is adindriya jñānam, that knowledge beyond the senses. Isn't it? So it is from this principle, it is from this, there is a statement in the Vedam, Alma vai putranamasi. Father himself comes as the son. There is a saying. Alma vai putranamasi. And sajiva sharadashatam. So from the heart of the mother and the father, a son is born, and Alma alone has come in another form, in the form of son. Father dies, and then he can come, or father himself can come in another form as the son. And there is this sajiva sharadashadam. You should live for hundreds of years. They bless the child. So the son, father can take birth again as a son, again as a grandson, and again as the son of the grandson, great-grandson, and again as his son, and again as, but the person is the same, who is going in different bodies, is coming and going. So, accepting that. Sopne yatha shira chedam, panjato dhyalpana swayam, yasmat pashiri dehasya, tada alma hyajo madaham. So, this birth, death, old age, disease, all this is called Deha Dharma. It has something to do with the body. So, but when, for example, in the dream state, when your head is cut off, you are standing separately and watching that. You know that. That is how you are able to say that your head was cut off in the dream. Suppose you are actually cut off, then you won't be there to say this again. The fact when your head was cut off, you are standing separately and saying, my head has been cut off. But you are standing separate from that. That's why when you wake up, you come and say that, oh, it has not been cut off now. So how real is that? It's only that much real, this thing called death also in the vacant state. That is what Sudha Goswami is saying. How real you felt in the dream state, that you were murdered or you were killed? How real was it for you? And when you came to the vacant state, you realized that it was not real. Similarly, when you come to the fourth state, when you move away from these three states, you'll also realize that these different bodies, what you had in the vacant state, were also not real. That's the logic. That only Sukadeva Goswami can say. We can't say that. For us, this is the whole real thing, what's going on now. Sukadeva Goswami is saying to us, when you were in the dream state, when your head was cut off, and you came to the vacant state and told us that you were not killed, although you saw yourself in the dream state, you have been killed. But as soon as you came to vacant state, you are saying you are not killed. He is saying that when you go away from the vacant state to the fourth state, Turiyam, what will happen there? You will say, that exactly like the way you talked about the dream state, you will say, though the different bodies I used to have in the vacant state, they are also not real. That will be what will happen at that moment in time. So, but that will only happen in that state. So, and you don't have to have any doubt about it, he says here. He says, Yasmad Pashyati Dehasya Tada Alma Ajo Amaraham. Then, Ghade Bhinne Yadha Akasham Agashasyal Yadha Puram Evam Dehe Mrde Jeevo Brahma Sambadyade Punaha. Ghade Bhinne Yadha Akasham Agashasyal Yadha Puram Evam Dehe Mrde Jeevo Brahma Sambadyade Punam. Sky is present everywhere. This is the first example. Ghadagasham, Matagasham. Sky is present everywhere, but due to the presence of the pot, you are separating that sky. The pot inside the pot, the sky inside the pot, and the sky outside the pot. Ghadagasham, Matagasham. But once that pot is broken, there's only one agasham, one sky then, isn't it? It's all finished. So, similarly, with knowledge, when this subtle body gets destroyed inside, what is left then? Only Alma. Alma is present there. Due to the presence of the subtle body, which is mind, intelligence, ahangaram, chittam, all these present inside, therefore, that is why we have this situation now, what we have got. That we feeling that we are separate. We are separate from the, that we are Jiva and there is Paramatma. Jivalma and Paramatma, difference is due to that. Because of the presence of this subtle body. Once the subtle body gets destroyed, exactly like the way it is the subtle body that creates this Jiva. If the subtle body is not there, there is no Jiva. Jivatum has gone. But when the subtle body is there, you will always remain in this state of Jiva and Paramatma. Jivalma and Paramatma. That state will be there. And when the subtle body is destroyed, Jiva becomes Brahmam. There is no difference from there. And Manasrajadivaidehan Gunan Karmani Cha Alpmana Tan Manasrajade Maya Tato Jivasya Samsrati. Tato Jivasya Samsrati. Manasrajadi Vai Dehan Gunan Karmani Chalmana. Tan Manasrajade Maya Tato Jivasya Samsrati. This relationship between the self and the body is the creation of Maya. Is Maya's creation. And with knowledge, that relationship will break. Relationship will break. Because how did the bondage develop in the first instance? It developed like this. That Alma, when the modes of nature came into contact with Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, the three modes of material nature came in. Along with that, pious activity, sinful activity came up there. Along with that, different kinds of bodies came. When there is more Rajogunam, you got a human body. When there is high degree of Sattugunam, you got a demigod's body. So, Manushya form, Devata form, Deva form. So, different forms, and when there is more Tamogunam, we got the lower species, bodies in the lower species. When there is Rajogunam, we got the human body. When you got Sattugunam, we got the higher body. So you can see, only when Prakriti came into contact with Atma, the Self, Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam has come. Along with that, we started engaging in pious activities and sinful activities. Activities in Sattvagunam is pious activity. Activities in Rajogunam, Tamogunam is sinful activities. So, karmam developed from that point. Punya papam, pious and sinful activities have come. Along with that, we started getting different bodies. Human body, demigod's body, or lower body, lower species. All this has happened. So, and where is this all located? In the mind. It's in the mind. And who creates the mind? Maya. Maya creates this mind. That's where everything is located. That's what he is saying here. Manasrajani vaidehan gunan karmani chalpmana tan manasrajade maya tato jivasya samsrati. Tato jivasya samsrati. Jiva's birth is on this situation. Manasrajade vai dehan gunan karmani chalpmana tan manasrajade maya tato jivasya samsrati. So as soon as this thing happened, three modes of material nature has come, Atma was affected by that. How it has happened? You can't answer that question. It is difficult. Because why it has happened, there is, for example, you will say, we have, Atma is always independent, is it not? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Eternal, pure, always liberated, fully conscious. Four things. Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham, Mukta, Swarupam. This is Atma's nature. Atma is never affected by that. Prakriti also has no... Prakriti is jadam, isn't it? It has no effect. When did the problem start? When they came into contact with each other. Remember this we discussed in the 28th chapter. Paratattva Nirupanam, that it was called. The moment Atma and Prakriti came into contact, that is when Jiva was born. Remember that? Which we discussed in the 28th chapter. The moment Atma has come into contact with Prakriti, Jiva was born. What it means, in other words, is Jiva is not a real thing. Jiva is a false thing. The moment Atma and Prakriti is separated, there is no Jiva anymore. It has gone back to its own place. And that is what he is saying here. That manas, and when Jiva is born, then there is mind. And when the mind is there, Ahankaram is there. Mind is there, Ahankaram is there, Jiva is there, and therefore material existence is also there. And it is that material existence, what we call as life today. Always fearful, always frightened, what will happen tomorrow. This anxiety, everything what exists in all of us right at this moment in time is called a material existence or samsaram. But samsaram has nothing to do with Atma. Samsaram has nothing to do with Prakriti either. Samsaram has got only to do with Jiva. Only in the Jiva state you will experience samsaram. Not as Atma, not as Prakriti. That's a big difference there. That is why Jiva Atma has got samsaram, Paramatma has not samsaram, material existence. Manasrajadi vaidehan gunan karmani cha atmana tan manasrajade maya tato jivasya samsrati. Because Atma, deham or shariram or this body is Prakriti, isn't it? It is Prakriti. And Atma and deham or Prakriti has come into contact. And therefore, we call this body as a living force, isn't it? As a living, because they are coming to contact each other. And this connection with Atma and the body, Jadam and Chetana, it is called. Chetana means living force. Jadam means dead matter. So the living force and the dead matter, who made this combination, connection together? It is created by Maya. Maya creates that. That is Maya's power. Just see the Maya's capacity to do that. In each one of us, she has connected these two. Prakriti, Jadam and Chaitanya. brought it together, and by bringing them together, she created ahangaram inside. And with the birth of ahangaram, all the subtle ahangaram, once ahangaram is born, what happens? Ahangaram divides into three. Satya Rajasa Tamasam. Satya ahangaram comes to mind, Rajasa ahangaram comes to senses, and Tamasa ahangaram comes to gross body. And then our life goes on from that way, in that way. So, tan manas rajade mayam, tado jivasya samsruti. Always remember, when we say mind, ahangaram, mind and all, it's all one thing only. According to the action, it is spoken in different names. Whether you call it as buddhi, ahangaram, manasa, chittam, they are one and the same thing. But according to the function, we call it as in different names. That's all. But important thing there is this manasa and ahangaram. When they always stick together, because mind creates all the different perceptions here, and everything what we do here is centered around this ahangaram. Ahangaram is the pivot. It is connected to that all the time. So with this ahangaram inside, we are engaged in our activities in this world. So karmam, karma vasana, everything builds up, and ahangaram is the pillar to which it is all connected. So, manas rajade vai dehan gunan karmani chalpmana tan manas rajade maya tado jivasya samsrati. So, and this connection between alpa and chetana and jadam. Here we call alpa as chetana. Chetana means the consciousness, or you can say the awareness inside. That awareness and this gross body, this connection between the two has been created by the mind, and that mind is a product of maya. Mind is a product of maya. So you can see how we are ended up in this situation where we are now. We have ended up like this, where we are now. So that is what that verse is saying there. Snehadishtana varti agni samyogo yavadiyade tato deepasya deepatvam evam dehakrito bhava rajasattvatamo vatya jayate tavinashyati snehadishtana varti agni samyogo yavadiyade tato deepasya deepatvam evam dehakrito bhava rajasattvatamo vatyam jayate tavinashyati. Again, another example. Sukadeva Goswami's examples here. He's saying here that there is oil in a lamp. There is oil in a lamp. And there is the wick there. And there is the lamp itself. And then there is the fire. All these four or five things together. And that is what we call as a lamp. The lamp is burning, isn't it? So the lamp is there. And then the wick is there. The oil is there and the fire is there. All of them together. As long as they are all together, it comes in front of us in the form of a lamp. We call it as a lamp. Then similarly, he's saying is that as long as there is gross body like this, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, only at that time you have material existence. This fear, I'm going to die, I'm going to get old, I'm going to get sick, and I'm going to birth, death, old age, disease, and all the material, hankering, lamentation, the hunger, thirst. As long as that connection is broken, body never feels hungry anymore. It's not. Once I'm dead, I won't feel hungry. Or I won't feel thirsty either. Would it? It's gone. Body doesn't feel hunger or thirst. Body again, on its own, doesn't feel any hankering or lamentation. Shogam, moham. Body again won't cry about old age and death. All these things are only present when they are together with Atma. See that? That's what he's saying here. Sneha adhishtana varti agni sam yogo yavadiyate tato deepasya deepatvam evam dehagrado bhava. That deepasya deepatvam. Deepatvam means you are only seeing it as a lamp when all the things are together. Which one? The oil, the wick, the lamp and the fire. When all these things are together, you are calling it as a lamp. Once they are separated, you don't call it as a lamp anymore. You can't call it as a lamp because there is no light coming from the lamp. Isn't it? Similarly, Alma and the body is together. Only when they are together, you are feeling this miseries of material existence, of birth, death, old age and disease. Similarly, you feel the shadurmi, hunger and thirst, hankering and lamentation, and old age and death. All these things are only present at that time. That's a very logical point, is it not? As soon as you leave this body, why there is no hunger anymore? Now we are feeling hunger. We want feast. But as soon as you die, even if you bring a good feast and give it, he's not looking even at the feast. So, what do you think about that? Similarly, anything you can see, hankering and lamenting. Now we are crying all the times. So many things have happened in life. What shall I do? What am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? Hankering. All the time hankering after something else. And things, what has happened, you are lamenting about it. Isn't it? Shokam moham. First thing is hunger and thirst. Then hankering and lamentation. And finally, old age and death. We are worrying about it. Old age and death. Is it not? So all these six things can only exist when these two things are together. Which one? The material body as well as the living force. When they are together. And they are present there only due to one reason. Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. You can see that also. When there is a lot of Tamogunam in us, that is the time when you are lamenting heavily about life. So much lamentation going on. Oh, everything has gone wrong in my life. What am I supposed to do? And so many people you will see, suddenly they will go and commit suicide also. Thinking this. That Tamogunam, when it builds up, this is what will happen. Tamogunam creates that. Always lamenting, lamenting, lamenting about things in life. Or Rajogunam creates that hankering after that. Want this, want that, want that. If we are always thinking, if that is there, my life will be happy. I will be fulfilled. Everything, fulfillment will come in life. It will never come. So hankering and lamentation does that to us. Is it not? Similarly, Deha Dharmam. That means this hunger and thirst. We have to always make sure the next meal is ready, isn't it? So, the same problem. Body creates that fear inside. Where is food, next meal. Or hunger and thirst. You can see how careful we are. We carry the bottle with us. Because we know that if the water is not there, you're going to be uncomfortable, isn't it? And all the doctors are saying, carry a bottle with you all the time. To drink whenever you feel. So hankering, this hunger and thirst is a urmi. Is one of the waves. Shadurmi that is. Hunger in the same way. Thirst also same way. Similarly hankering and lamentation. And finally, old age and death. Old age and death. Old age generally referring to old age associated with all the illnesses. Sickness that comes. All the miseries that comes. And finally death. This fear, all the fear of all these things is called material existence. It's called material existence. And that is only present when these two parties come together. Which one? Alma, the self, and this jadam, the dead matter, body. When they come together, all these things comes out from that. The six kinds of shadurmi, as they call it, they comes out from that. And that is what he's saying here also. That in the same way, once this body is destroyed, then material existence also destroyed. Alma you cannot destroy, only body you can destroy. That's all you can do here. Once the body is destroyed, so that another body doesn't come again, in such a way you have to destroy it, this body. To destroy it in such a way that another one doesn't come back again. Because Alma you cannot destroy it. Alma is ever existing, isn't it? So that is what he's saying here. That oil in the lamp is referred to karma. And where the oil is present, the adhishtanam or the basis, that is the mind. And the wick there is the body. The wick in the lamp is the body. And that is how that comparison is made. And when they all get destroyed, get separated, the flame is not there anymore. when the oil, the wick, and the lamp, and then the lamp, that's all separated, then there is no more flame anymore. Similarly, mind, body, intelligence, ego, senses, these are all together creating that vastu, together with Atma. When they are all destroyed, material existence is also finished with that. So we'll discuss it after a few minutes.
Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvavanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadu jivanam ananda budivardhanam pradipada purna amrita swadanam sarvatna samanam varam vijayave shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpidani nida smaranena kalam Edadrishitava Kripa Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeiva Vidasha Mihajani Nanuraga Tranarabi Shunichena Aryodabi Sahishnuna Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Najanam Sundarim Kavitamba Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadad Bhaktirahe Dugitvai Ay nandana nujagingaram paditamam shame bhavambudau krubayadava pada bangajastida duli sadrasham vichindaya nayanam galada shudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira polagayam nijidam kadava bhutavannam grahane bhavishyadi yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam Shunyaidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashleshyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam armahadam karotuva yathatadava vidadadulam vada malprananathastunayevana para. Shri Shuka Vaja, fifth chapter. Atra anuvarnya dhevishnam vishwalma bhagavan hari yasya prasada jo brahma rudra krodha samadhava tumtu rajan marishedi pashibuddhi mimam jahi na jada pradabu dhodya dehavatvam nanangshasi na bhavishyasi bhudatvam putra pautra adiru bhavan bijam anguravad dehadir vidrito yatha nalam Vidhirikto yata nalam. Sopne yata shirachedam panjato dhyalpana swayam yasma alpa shiri dehasya tadam alpa ajo amaraham. Ghade bhinne yata rasham agashasyal yata pura evam dehe mrade jivo brahma sambadyade punaha. Manasrajadi vaidehan gunan karmani chalpana tan manasrajade maya tato jivasya samsradi sneha adishtana vartyagni samyogo yavadiyate tato divasya divatvam evam dehakrato bhava rajasattvatamo vartyam jayade tha vinashyati. So that's what we were discussing, that the ahangaram is born when Chaitanyam comes in contact with Jadam. That is there in all Upanishads, in all Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, everywhere. So with the birth of Ahankaram, which means nothing but the birth of the mind, and also the birth of the intelligence, senses, everything comes from that, from the mind. Follow. Mind is the cause of everything. And finally the gross body also. As you know, the body is always, from spiritual point of view, body has come from the mind. From material point of view, mind has come into the body. Is it not? That's how the science is telling us. There is a mind inside me. Me is the body, and inside me there is a mind. In other words, they will never accept that this body is a product of the mind. For us, spiritual side, it's always a product of the mind. So that is the reason why we say killing the subtle body is more important than the gross body. Gross body will go anyway. Doesn't matter. It's going to go one day.
That is why, that example, when you look at it, there is the tree and there is the seed. The seed is more important than the tree. Tree will die one day. But if you allow the seed, it will take birth again from the seed. Another one will come out. And so that is why, if you look at Ashtavakra Gita, Ashtavakra Maharshi says to Janaka that. He says the seed is not only that you should cut the whole tree from the very root, but you have to burn the seed, he says. You have to burn it, the seed. Otherwise, another tree will come out from that. The body is like that. If you allow the subtle body to remain, you can expect there will be another body, gross body again. Because gross body comes from the subtle body. Mind is the seed of this gross body. And that is why all the gross body is different from one person to another. Why? Because their subtle bodies are different. Because of variation, change in the subtle body, our gross bodies are different. That's the important thing. Gross body is varying. Why we are all looking different? Because of our different subtle bodies inside. So, that is what here, also, that with the destruction of the subtle body, and Krishna also says the same thing previously, in the earlier chapters in the 11th canto. You will see Ekadashaskandam, he says, that dehastobina dehasta vidvan sopnad hirotida adehastobina dehasta kumadi sopnatra kiyatha. That same principle is mentioned here also. Na tatralma swayam jodi yo vyakta avyaktayo para agasham ivajadharo dhruvo anandobamastagaham. Again, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying there, na tatra alma swayam jodi yo vyakta avyaktayo paraha. When the lamp goes off, that means the flame goes away, what actually gets destroyed? Only the fire has gone, the flame has gone. But then we say the lamp is not there anymore. Lamp is not functioning anymore, isn't it? There is no flame anymore. Similarly, that what is dying here, this samsaram or material existence, is that flame. Material existence is the flame. Only material existence goes away, but nothing happens to the self. Nothing happens to the self. Atma, like the sky, is the basis for everything. It's the basis for everything. And it's always like it, all these things are happening where? In the space, is it not? In the space, everything is happening. Like, for example, if you look at the body, body is present because of the space. Mind is present, intelligence is present, ego is present, everything is present. It's all present within the space, within the space. And similarly, it is in Atma this body is existing. Subtle body, gross body, everything is existing in Atma. We don't see it like that. We are seeing, this is where the difficulty, we are seeing the body and we say, inside that body there is somewhere there is a mind. And somewhere else there is a soul. This is how we are seeing that. That is why we say, when we refer to the soul, we thinking, somebody is telling us, so he is 1/10,000 part of a tip of a hair. So he doesn't require much space, does he? We start thinking like that. And then you are trying to imagine, in your own head, you are working out all these things. Thinking, where is he then? And we say, he's not here, he's on this side. So here also, if you operate it, you won't find him. 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair. He is too small to measure. That is not how you understand soul. You can't understand soul in that way. Soul is like this. That is, the presence of the soul is such that the body is there because of that. Body is the limiting factor. Soul is not the limiting factor. Body makes you measurable. A person you can measure in terms of a body, mind and intelligence and all that. But on a basis of the spirit soul, how will you measure anybody? You can't measure anyone in the form of the soul. You can't say his soul is small, somebody else is small is big. That is why whenever they give the example, they will say this, that the soul that is present in the mosquito and the soul that is present in the elephant, they are one and the same. They are one and the same. They are not different. Why? To get rid of us, get us rid of this perception in the form of measurements of the size and the volume and all kinds of things. What we so here, na tatralpa svayam jyoti yo vyakta vyaktayo paraha. That this Atma, which is present in every living being, he is always independent of whatever body he has got. Even if you have male body, female body, elephant's body, mosquito's body, it hardly matters as far as the soul is concerned. Soul is never affected by it, what kind of body it has got. And what else is there? That, and whatever that's happening in the gross body or in the subtle body has nothing to do with the soul. Soul is so independent, that whatever that's happening in the gross body or the subtle body has no impact on him, has no impact on the self. And what else? He is not even affected by north, south, east, west, place where he is, time in where he is, time, place, circumstances, those things also have no effect on him, on the self. This is what's called freedom. Freedom means this: time, place, circumstances has no control over you anymore. Normally, for us, all these are important, isn't it? When you are in reference to the body, when you look at it, these things are very important. Where we are living, and where is our, where were we born, where we were born, place of birth, time of birth, date of birth, all these things matters to us at the moment. But for Sukadeva Goswami, does not matter all these things. He is not looking at, I don't think he has a passport even when he travels. He doesn't need a passport. He is free from all these problems, what we have got. So that is self-realization means. Is saying here that there is nothing that you can compare with the self, with Atma. You can't compare anything. Atma and existence in the platform of the soul is so different than in the existence in the material body. Material body means everything is limited. The form is limited, the name, the form, and then all our subtle body also. Mind, intelligence, ego, senses, all that is in a limited way you function. When you come to spiritual platform, all limitations are taken out. All the limitations, that is what he is saying here. Na tatra alpa svayam jyotir yo vyakto avyaktayo paraha. Agasham ivacha adharo dhruvo anandopam astada. Like the sky it is then. It's like the sky. Agasham, but sky is the adharam. Adharam means the basis in which all material life is existing. Is it not? Everybody in this creation is dependent on the space. Without space you can't exist, because if you are there, that means there's a space there. In space you are existing. So agasham iva jatharo dhruvo anandam anandomamastada. Dhruvam anandomamastada. That means parichedam is not there. That's a word in the Shastra. Parichedam means you are not anymore limited. They call different words in translation. Limiting adjuncts, they say in the translations. Limiting adjuncts. These are all limits us. Which one? Body limits us. Mind limits us. Intelligence is limiting us. Ego and senses all limits us. We are limited with that. We are not free, is it not? But when these limiting factors are taken out, that is Atma. Atma, existence in the Atma means unaffected by the limitations. No more limitations. Evam alpanam almasto almanaivamrisha prabho buddhyanumana garbhinyam vasudevanuchindayam. Evam alpanam almastam almanaivamrisha prabho buddhyanumana garbhinyam vasudevanuchindayam. So, because the nature of Atma is like that, he is not limited by anything. And plus, he has no birth. And he has no death either. There is no destruction for the Atma. Therefore, this deham, deha means this gross body, and combined with mind, intelligence, ego, senses and all. This is called dehadi sanghatam. Sanghatam means that a conglomeration of all things together. All together. Isn't it? Body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, plus Atma. That is called sanghatam. And there, Alma is not comfortable in that state with all these things together. And therefore, Shiva Brahmarshi says here that you should be focusing on Alma rather than all the other things. Why you are putting all your energy in this body which is not even desired by the Alma? Alma doesn't want it. It has been forced upon it by due to various reasons, whatever we have spoken before. Then, so even if you come to realize of Vasudevani Chindaya, look at the word they have used, Vasudeva. Krishna's another name is used there deliberately, that Vasudeva. Vasudeva means one who is living in everyone. One who is living in everybody, Vasudeva. That means present as Alma in everyone, Vasudeva. If you pursue Vasudeva seriously, what will happen? Vasudevani Chindaya Buddhya Anumana Garbhinyam. Buddhya Anumana Garbhinyam. Then, even if you continuous self-enquiry process, even if you realize the self, even if you realize the self, even then you will know that the body what you are seeing is separate from Atma. Even at that time you will realize it. Even if you realize that the body Atma, that is important. Suppose you have, at the moment for us, body is there, Atma is inside, somewhere, wherever it is, then mind is there, intelligence is there, and the whole package you are seeing now in everybody, isn't it? But what you are actually seeing is only the body. You are not seeing the other things. They are all inside. We are thinking like that. It's all inside. Somewhere it is present there. Suppose through self-inquiry, you have come to the stage that you have realized the self. But the body hasn't gone. Body is still there. But when you realize the self, immediately you will know that you are still have no connection with the body. That is the interesting thing. At the moment, what do we think? We think it is connected, isn't it? When you look at a person, you think, oh, there is a soul inside. There is a life force inside. And we connect that living force with that body. And that's how we see that person. But when self-realization happens, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying here that even though the body has not gone away, still you will know at that time that this self had no connection with the body. But that will happen first within oneself. After that only you will see this in the others. That is why they say self-realization is first, and then realizing about Krishna's presence in other living entities, or later. Buddhyanumana garbhinyam vasudevani chindayam. Because the reason is that Alma is always separate. Alma is always separate. And they say that what actually happens at that time, what will happen is that when the Alma is present in the body, you are looking at it and identifying with the body. Because of the identification with the body, you are thinking that everything is subject to death. Everything is subject to death. That own and that subject to birth. And at the same time, that is our misunderstanding. Misunderstanding. That means, when you are seeing a person, and you are, with this understanding, you are looking at somebody, that there is a person there, a gross body I am seeing. Inside that gross body, there is an Atma present, mind is present, intelligence is there, ego is there, everything is there, the whole package you are seeing. But in your vision, what is registered is only that gross body, is it not? Nothing else is registered inside. What Shukha Brahmarshi is saying here is, that even at that time, the Alma in that person is separate from that body. He has no relationship with the body. But but because the Alma is identifying with the body, identification is the problem. In reality, there is no connection between the two. But if you identify, who can do anything about it? Nobody can help you then, isn't it? If you falsely identify with something, that identification causes all the problem, and therefore, once the identification starts, birth comes, death comes, old age comes, disease comes, and all other problems comes along with that. So that is what he is saying here. And that is what is called material existence. Material existence. So here, when drishyam means what you are seeing, the object. When the drishyam is destroyed, the drashta is not destroyed. Drashta is not. Who is the drashta? Alma. Alma is the drashta, isn't it? Body is the drishyam. So when the drishyam is destroyed, or the seeing, what is seen is destroyed, the seer is not destroyed. The seer is not destroyed. And for that to happen, he says here, Vasudevana Chindaya, to take Krishna's complete shelter. To take Krishna's complete shelter. That is the advice. Shukabramanshi says, only with Krishna's shelter this will happen. Vasudevani Chindaya. You can say it in two different ways. From the Jnana Margam by self-inquiry. From Bhakti Margam by surrender. That's all it is. Chodido vipravakena natuam dakshaditakshagaha mrityavo nobhadakshyandi mrityunam mrityumishwaram. Chodido vipravakena natuam dakshaditakshagaha mrityavonobhadakshyandi mrityunam mrityumishwaram. Mrityunam mrityumishwaram. He says here that in this way, think in this way, what Shri Brahmashri has spoken in these few verses. Think in that way and get over this relationship with the body and the soul and get established in the truth and be sure that the curse from the Brahmana to be bitten by Tatshaga, that will not happen. That will not happen. Tatshaga cannot bite you, the Alma. Tatshaga can only touch your body. But Tatshaga can't do anything about you. And you will never die. Again, Parishit is being told. So just like Krishna is called Ishwara, isn't it? Ishwara Sarvabhudanam Hrudeshe Arjuna Tishtadi. And time cannot destroy Ishwara. Time cannot destroy Ishwara. That is, similarly, Alma, which is different from the body, and Ishwara, they are one and the same in nature. Alma, which is separate from the body, is one and the same as Ishwara. Deho, look at the verse, he says there, Mrityuo noba dakshandi mrityuinam mrityum Ishwaram. Chodido vipravakena natvam dakshadi tatshaga mrityuo no upadakshyandi mrityuinam mrityu Ishwaram. Mrityuinam mrityu Ishwaram. Na dakshadi no upadakshyandi mrityuinam mrityu Ishwaram. Mrityuinam mrityu Ishwaram. Mrityuinam mrityu Ishwaram means that Ishwara can never be touched by time. Time has only affects us, isn't it? Time cannot do anything with Krishna. Krishna is Ishwara. He is not touched by time. We are affected by time. Krishna is not affected by time. So similarly, he says here that now vipt dakshendi, it cannot destroy Alma. It can only destroy the body. Again, putting the fact in front of Parikshit. Then, aham brahma param dhama, brahma aham paramam padam, evam samikshan almanam almanyadhaya nishkale dashandam takshagam pade lelihanam vishanane nadrakshasi shariram cha vishyam cha prithakalpana. Aham brahma param dhama brahma aham paramam padam evam samikshan almanam almanyadhaya nishkale dashandam takshagam pade lelihanam vishananehi न द्रक्षसि शरीरं च विश्वं च पृथगात्मना. There is something important here. See, when this boy Shringi cursed Parikshit that from 7 days from now Takshaka will bite you and you will die. That was the curse, isn't it? You will be bitten by Takshaka in the 7 days' time. Why 7 days? Why not 5 days? Why not 10 days? Why 7 days? Any day. Any day, yeah. It is our life in this world. If you want to refer to any day, the best thing is to say it has to be either from Sunday to Saturday, 1 day. Is it not? So, for us also we have to understand it that way. That as far as death is concerned, it has to happen in one of those days. Sunday to Saturday. In one of those days, no matter which year you die, which month you die, it will be always between Sunday to Saturday. One of those days. That is why the 7 days is spoken there. That as far as death is concerned, it will happen any time. It will always be within the 7 days. One of the seven. It is in that context 7 days is spoken. Not that starting from now 7 days you will die. It's a very clever way of saying things. That in the 7 days you will die in 7 days' time. Any time during these 7 days you can die. All of us in the same way. When we die also it will be one of these days only, isn't it? One of the 7 days. So, here Aham Brahma Param Dama Brahmaham Param Padam Evam Samichan Almanam Alman Yadhaya Nishkalai. Shukam Brahma Sri is saying to him that when he was cursed like that, that in 7 days time he has to leave the body. If Shukha Brahmarshi wanted to stop that, he could have done it. A personality like him, he could have put a stop to that. Which one? Takshaka biting Parikshit. He could have stopped that. If Parikshit wanted to do it, he could have done it. They are not ordinary people. Who was protected in the womb by Krishna himself? What is Takshaka? Takshaka is nothing. Is it not? Compared to the Brahmastram, what Ashwathama had sent to destroy Parikshit. Compared to that, Takshaka's power is nothing. You can see there is a story about that which comes in the Mahabharatam. It's not spoken in the Bhagavatam. There it mentions there that this Takshaka's story, let me get to that story because that story is important. In Bhagavatam it's not mentioned because Bhagavatam spoke about the message, more important than the story side of it. In this chapter you will notice, more or less, Shukha Brahmarshi has decided to stop speaking. To that state it has come now. So he says to him that look at the fourth chapter itself. Already the sign is there. If you read Bhagavatam carefully, you will notice the sign is there. The sign is there. Samsara sindhu madhi mustaramurti tirsh atiti tirshor nanya plavo bhagavata purushottamasya lila katha rasanishevana mandarena pumso bhave dvida dukkhadavardidasya samsara sindhu adi dussaramutti tirsho dukkhardidasya. Living being in this world is always under this material existence. Out of this misery he is living here. He's living here in misery, isn't it? Remember, when we started Bhagavatam, what did he say? Adididishadam tamondham Sukadeva Goswami. Who says Sudha Goswami says that about him, isn't it? What did he say? സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പരാണ പുരാണ ഗുഹ്യം ഈ യസ്യാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം. That word there, adititirshadam tamondam. What does that mean? Adititirshadam tamondam. And he's using the word again here. Samsara sindhu adidustaramurti tirshor adititirsha. Nanyaplavo bhagavada purushottamasya. Adititirshadam means that extremely difficult, miserable situation, this material life. സംസാരം മെറ്റീരിയൽ എക്സിസ്റ്റൻസ് മീൻസ് എക്സ്ട്രീംലി ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ട്. യസ്യാനുഭാവം അഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം. അതിതിതീർഷതാം, തിതീർഷതം തമോന്ധം, എക്സ്ട്രീംലി മിസറബിൾ സിറ്റുവേഷൻ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ്. തമസ് അന്ധം, ബോത്ത് ഇഗ്നോറൻസ് അജ്ഞാനം ഓർ അവിദ്യ ആൻഡ് ഡ്യൂ ടു ദാറ്റ് ബ്ലൈൻഡ്നെസ്. ദാറ്റ്സ് അവർ ലൈഫ് ഹിയർ ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്, ഈസ് ഇറ്റ് നോട്ട്? That's our life here. Complete darkness. No light at all in life. Why we are here? What we are doing here? We come here, do a lot of things and we go. That's all we know about this life. What else do we know about this life? Nothing. Nothing else. That's what he's saying. Adititirshadam tamondham. It is tamogunam. Nothing else. Andham and blindness. Darkness. Don't know what is going on here. But we are here anyway. So he is saying the same thing. Samsara sindhu adidustara murti tirshor nanyaplavo bhagavada purushottamasya. Such a person who is living in this material life, in this world, completely under the control of the three modes of material nature and experiencing all the miseries of material existence, for him what is the hope? Leela katha rasa nishevana mandarena. Simply hearing about Krishna is the only hope for him. There is no other hope. Just Leela, Katha, Rasam, Nishevanam, Andarena, Pumso Bhave, Divida Dukha, Dukha Dhavar Didasyam. Leela, Katha, Rasam, Nishevanam, Andarena. He has no choice except hearing about Krishna, his Leela, his Katha, and enjoying that rasa from the Bhagavatam. Anyaplava, he has no other boat to cross through this place. And Adititirsha, and Adititirsha means, Tirsha means he wants to cross over material existence. He does not want to exist in this material life anymore. So if he has come to that conclusion for him, Leela katha rasa nishevana mandarena pumso bhava vivida dukkha davardidasya. That for vivida dukkha davardidasya, that means he is living in a burning fire here, burning fire of material existence. It is, isn't it? That is our material existence means. Always anxiety. What will happen tomorrow? What will happen in the old age? And then concerned about your own body, what will happen? Then you're concerned about other bodies, husband or children or whoever it may be, worrying about them. So does life has to be like this all the time? Where does it say like that in the Shastram, that this is happiness? Nowhere. Always living in anxiety about future. What will happen tomorrow? What will happen day after? Something or the other. And to help us, all the newspapers and all other things also adds to it. If you are not frightened about life, they will make you frightened more. With everything reported from LA to Sydney, the whole thing on the news, 24, on the hour, every hour on the hour, they say you have to have it. You have to know what's going on. Do you have to be like this life? Does it have to be like this? Always in this fearful state, living in this world. Anybody you look at their face, anxiety all the time. What will happen? What will happen? And we say that this is happiness, this life, is it not? But Shukha Brahmarshi is saying, is this what you call happiness, he says. That so, only one who has experienced happiness can tell us that. ആത്മാ രാമശ്ച മുനയോ നിർഗ്രന്ഥ അഭിയുരുക്രമേ കുറുവന്തി ആയുധുകിം ഭക്തിം ഇത്തം ഭൂതഗുണോ ഹരി എന്ന് ഭാഗവതം യുൽസി. ആത്മാ രാമസ് നോ വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഹാപ്പിനെസ്. വി ഡോണ്ട് നോ വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഹാപ്പിനെസ്. വി തിങ്ക് ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് അഡ്ജസ്റ്റിംഗ് തിങ്സ് ഹിയർ ഈസ് ഹാപ്പിനെസ്, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? But that is not happiness. That's what I am saying there. So, what has happened that hearing about Krishna, chanting Krishna's holy name and continuously talking about Krishna, that is the way to get over this problem from this world, from this kind of life in this world. That's what it is. So, Parikshit had the 7 days time and it's going to come to an end. And therefore, Shiva Brahmarshi says to him, if you have any doubts, you can ask now. If you have any more doubts, you can ask now. Don't get frightened that Tatsara is going to come and bite you, because Shiva Brahmarshi knew very well that only if he gives permission, Tatsara can enter. That is how his state is. Only if he gives permission, Tatsara can come inside. And therefore he is saying now, he wants that Tatsara can come, therefore he is saying to Parikshit, you can ask if you have any more questions. And and if you ask me this question, you are asking me this question, how can I avoid death? You can ask any question you want, he says. How can I avoid death? If that is your question, you can ask that. But Parikshit at that time realized it because of Shuka Brahmarshi's grace. What you have to remember is, all this is Krishna who is doing it. Remember? Kasmai yena vibhasito. Never forget that verse at the end of Bhagavadam. Who spoke this Brahmavadesham to Brahma first? Sitting in the form of Brahma, heard it from Krishna. Krishna sat in the form of Brahma in the lotus flower and heard this from Krishna. Sitting in the form of Narada Maharshi, Krishna spoke and Krishna heard. Sitting in the form of Sri Narada Maharshi, Krishna spoke and Vedavyas heard. Sitting in the form of Vedavyas, Krishna spoke and Sukha Maharshi heard. And now, sitting in the form of Sukadeva Goswami, Krishna is speaking. And sitting in the form of Parikshit, Krishna is listening. It's all Krishna to Krishna. The whole transaction is Krishna to Krishna. It is only for our understanding that when you are freed from this gross body, it will be exactly like the situation what happened to Shuka Brahmarshi, to Vedavyas, to Brahma, Sri Narada and many others. That's liberated state. So here, he says here, that what is going to happen? Parikshit, already he has answered that. If you look into the 6th chapter, you will see there. In the 6th chapter, the second verse, he is saying there, that Siddhosmi, Anugrihidosmi, Bhavada Karuna Almana, Shravido Yachame Sakshal, Anadinidhano Hari. Siddhosmi, Anugrihidosmi. From that words, you can understand that Parikshit has made, Shiva Brahmarshi has made Parikshit realize that Tatsara, yes, cannot bite him, cannot touch him. He says there that Parikshit has to be frightened about Tatsara only if Tatsara is going to bite him, isn't it? But by now what has happened? That even if Tatsara comes and bites this body, I am not the body. That understanding has come to him. Parikshit has already come to that stage. That is what he is saying in those two verses. Aham Brahma Param Dhamma, Brahmaham Paramam Padam, Evam Samichan Almanam, Almanyadhaya Nishkale, Deshandam Natchagam Pade, Lelihanam Vishananehi, Nadrakshasi Shariram Cha Vishwam Cha Prathakalmana. These two verses are very important because this is Parikshit's realized state. Aham Brahma Param Dhamma, that Aham Brahmasmi realization. He is realizing that nothing to do with this body. It has happened to him. Once you have realized that, then you won't ask this question again, what, is Tatshaka going to bite me? Because he knows Tatshaka cannot bite the Atma. All Tatshaka can do is to come and touch the body. Touch, that's all he can do, nothing else. Isn't it? So that is why that verse is important. That Parishit evam samichan almanam almanyadhaya nishkale. That Tatshaka is not a cause for death anymore. Anymore. He is not a cause of death. And he is realizing that I am Brahman. He is realizing that I am Brahman. So, in that Brahman stage, where is Tatshaka? Tatshaka has no relevance anymore. He has no relevance anymore. So, he says here, na drakshasi shariram cha vishwam cha prathagalpana. That means prathagalpa. Prathagalpana means prathagalpa. Prathagalpa is Brahman. That Antaryami inside is Brahman. That is what Parikshit is. And telling him that these different faces of Tatshaka, which is coming to bite, with all the poison on its face, ready to inject that, you don't have to be frightened about that Tatshaka anymore. And you will also notice one thing, when this realization comes, what has happened now to Parikshit? Parikshit is not seeing Tatshaka anymore in that body. Like he himself is not seeing his own body. He is seeing himself as Atma. He is seeing Tatshaka as also Atma. So where is the fear then? That is how that fear has gone. That is what he is saying here. Dashandam Tatshakam Pade Lelihanam Vishananehi Nadrakshasi Shariramcha Vishwamcha Prithagalmana. He is not seeing Tatshaka anymore as that Tatshaka form, as a snake or a whichever form he has come there, with the different hoods, with poison, snake, all that creates fear inside. He is not feeling that anymore. Why? Tatshaka for him also not the body anymore. He is only seeing Tatshaka as Atma. Prithagalmana, he says there. And what else? He is seeing the whole creation also as Prithagalmana, as Atma. That is Brahman realization. He has realized Brahman. No more this, what we call as the different Namarupam. Namarupam has gone from inside. So therefore, Dashandam Tatshakam Pade Lelihanam Vishananehi Nandrakshasi Shariram Cha Vishwam Cha Prithagalmana. Because of that, he is not seeing Tatshaka the snake anymore. And he's not seeing the body anymore. He's not seeing the world anymore. None of them is different from Atma. Everything is the self within. Exactly what Shiva Brahmarshi sees. The same thing Parikshit also seeing now. Remember about Shiva Brahmarshi what Sukadeva Goswami said. Is it not? That, what did he say? Tam sarvabodha hridayam munimanatosmi. Everywhere where Shukha Brahmarshi is looking, only Atma is seen, not the body. That is the reason. And because Shukha Brahmarshi was like that, those women who were waiting, they would not get affected by his presence. Whereas when Vedavyas came through, they were saying that you still have that feelings of man, woman and bodily identity to some extent. Therefore, they covered themselves. But what is important there is to know Shukha Brahmarshi's state of realization. Na drakshasi shariram cha vishwam cha prithaka almana. That only there is Atma present everywhere. There is nothing else here. And this is why we are saying we have to come out of this. What? Only what I see is the truth. Or only what I hear is the truth. So long as I am stuck in that box, I am stuck for life. There is no point in developing spiritual life then. If you have this concept all the time, only what I see is the truth, and only what I hear is the truth. If I live in that, what do they say, cloud cuckoo land, then there is nothing you can do. How will you understand Shukha Brahmarshi's words then? How can you relate with this, these statements? In order to understand this, you have to come out of that box first. Aham Brahma Param Dhamma, Brahma Aham Paramam Padam, Evam Samichan Almanam, Almanyadhaya Nishkale, Dashandam Vakshagam Pade, Lelihanam Vishananehi Nadrakshasi Shariramcha Vishwamcha Prathagalpana.
There is no such thing called a Takshaka on a body level. You can't see him anymore. And there is no world even existing. Even that perception has gone away.
Nadrakshasi Shariramcha Vishwamcha.
But what is that? Prathagalpana.
Pradhaka Almana,
Alma, what is present everywhere, that realization has come to him. That is what he is saying here. That so, Parikshit has realized he is Satchidanandam. Satchidanandam, that is what he is. And even if Takshaka comes and bites, he can't bite this. It's completely realization that is. You can't explain it through words. Totally realization will only make this understand people, otherwise not. And this realization, he says, has come to me by your grace. Who says? Parikshit says to Sukadeva Goswami. And finally he says to him that, my dear king, that you see that four famous statements in the Upanishads. Aham Brahmasmi, then Pratyanam Brahmam, I am Atma Brahma, and finally Tattvamasi. It is that Tattvamasi is the last one. That means Tattvamasi stage, you realize it that you are not different from that Brahma. Not different from the Brahma. That what you are looking for all your life, inquiring about yourself, who you are, that Tattvam is Asi. Is not different. So this is what a spiritual master has to give it to the properly to the disciple at the end. So so only when Parikshit is ready for that, Shukha Brahmarshi gave that to him. Then that what is the words used here? So, and that realization when it comes, Parikshit is realizing that he is not different from Krishna. In what sense? Not in the bodily level. But Vastu is concerned. He is the same Vastu what is Krishna made of. Krishna is that Atma and he is not different from that. So, that is Krishna. Is that clear now, says Shukha Brahmarshi to Parikshit. And after saying this, Shukha Brahmarshi got up from there. He got up from there. And that time Parikshit thought that I should at least perform an arati for him before he leaves. And he performed the arati and played his obeisances to Shukha Brahmarshi. Shukha Brahmarshi paid both his hands on Parikshit, blessed him, and with all the other associates with whom he had come, Shukha Brahmarshi left the scene and went away from Ganga River. He left the scene. And till Shukha Brahmarshi left, Parikshit kept looking at him. Because a personality who has given this experience of the self, that's what has happened, isn't it? One who has given the experience of the self, when he is present there, he can't close his eyes. Spiritual master is right in the front. If the spiritual master is in the front and you close your eyes like this, then that means you don't want to see him, isn't it? So he says, instead he kept his eyes open. And that is the reason why he kept his eyes open. Till he is there, you have to keep your eyes open. The moment his vision has gone away from the eyes, as soon as Shukha Brahmarshi walked away and the vision has gone away from the eyes, the king closed his eyes. Parikshit closed his eyes. Then afterwards, he has never seen this world, or he has never seen his body, and he has never thought about it anymore. Either without this body or about this world. By now, Parikshit's Atma has already become one with the Brahma. He has become Brahma. That truth has become realized. And after the body what he has left behind here, it's not that body that Takshaka has come and bitten. Parikshit is gone by now. The body what he was left behind, on that Parikshit, Takshaka has come and bitten him. Because for the body to die, to get destroyed, there has to be some reason also behind it, isn't it? Takshaka happened to be that reason, to burn the body, that's all. To destroy the body, you need some reason. And Takshaka happened to be the cause behind it. So,
At that point in time, even if Takshaka has not come and bitten him, Parikshit had to go. Parikshit, it was time for him to go. Otherwise, Shugabrahmarshi have told him to Takshaka, don't come in. He would have told him. But Shugabrahmarshi knew that it was time for him to go. His prarabdham is finished, in other words. So Takshaka, Parikshit, Shugabrahmarshi knew this. Therefore, he told Parikshit to go, but then the body is left behind still. So that body has to be destroyed. So there has to have, just like we say, death does not happen due to any disease. When prarabdham is over, it needs some reason for the body to go. Whether it is cancer, or whether it is a stroke, or whether it is any other disease, any disease for that matter. We say they die due to cancer, or they die due to stroke, or they die due to some illness, we say, isn't it? Shastram don't accept that. Shastram is saying to us, that is only a reason for when the prarabdham is finished, the body has to go. So to burn the body, you need that. Something has to be there to destroy the body. Only for that purpose it has come. And in fact, if Shugabrahmarshi wanted, he could have stopped Takshaka very well. It was no problem at all. If he says one word that Takshaka cannot even move his tongue, he won't be able to bite. He could have stopped Takshaka from doing that. But why did he not do that? The reason is that Parikshit has to go. Parikshit has to go. More important for Shugabrahmarshi is the words of the little boy, Shringi, what he said. He has said that Parikshit has to go in 7 days' time. So therefore, Shugabrahmarshi said, it is time for Parikshit to go. Parikshit to go. And therefore, he decided that Parikshit has to give up the body. Parikshit has to give up the body because Shringi has said that, like that. And then, although at the same time, that curse from Shringi should not go in waste. That's another important thing. Shringi's words, a little Brahmana boy, 5-year-old, just because he put his tongue out and said something, that has to come true. That's the power of that word. Visasarjaha, says Bhagavatam. That word that has come out of that mouth has to become true. So, all these things are in his mind, Shugabrahmarshi's mind. So, what is important here is, it is not that Sukadeva Goswami could not protect Parikshit from Takshaka. He could have, if he wanted. And what to talk about Shugabrahmarshi, even Parikshit himself could have protected from this, if he wanted to. This is the situation now. What is at this point in time? So what will happen is that Parikshit's body was lying there dead, and his son Janamejaya didn't like it. Janamejaya didn't like it. What happened? Because Janamejaya is not experiencing what Parikshit is experiencing. Janamejaya is simply sitting there and watching this situation and seeing this. Janamejaya is seeing what is happening, and he is seeing Takshaka has come and bitten him, my father, and he is dead. Therefore, what happened was that Janamejaya built up a strong revenge towards Takshaka. Built up a strong revenge towards Takshaka. So, why Janamejaya got this revenge was, when Takshaka was coming to bite Parikshit, on the way, Kashyapa Maharshi was there. Kashyapa Maharshi met him on the way. As soon as Takshaka saw Kashyapa Maharshi, he understood who it is, Kashyapa. Who is Kashyapa? Kashyapa was a great sage who had a lot of powers in him, siddhis. Asked him, Kashyapa asked him, Takshaka asked Kashyapa where he is going. Kashyapa said, I heard that Takshaka is going to bite Parikshit. Takshaka asked a question. Takshaka is dressed like a Brahmana now. He's not like a snake. He's dressed like a Brahmana. All he knew was he has to come and touch Parikshit and then he will die. So Kashyapa said, I heard like this, that Takshana is coming to bite Parikshit. I'm going there to take away that poison from him, to remove the poison from him and give the life back to who? To Parikshit. Give the life back to Parikshit. At that time, Takshaka asked him, if Takshaka bites, Kashyapa does not know it is Takshaka who is speaking. Takshaka is just like a Brahmana, another body there. Like Putana comes in a different form, isn't it? Similarly, they can all change their forms as and when they want it. So, in this form, Brahmana is asking Kashyapa that if Takshaka bites, you will be able to remove, take away that poison, he said. What did Kashyapa say? Not even Takshaka, even if his grandfather comes, I will take the poison out from him, he says. Kashyapa was very aggressive. He says to him, not even Takshaka comes, even if his grandfather comes and bites him, I'll take the poison out of him. So it became an argument between the two, between Takshaka and Kashyapa. They started arguing each other about this. So Takshaka says to him, can you show that to me if you could do that? Then Kashyapa says to him, who are you? He says, I am Takshaka, he said. At that time he revealed his identity and says to him, I will burn this tree. A huge tree was standing there, banyan tree, a huge banyan tree. I will bite this tree and burn this tree into ashes, he said to him. So he said, then let's try, give it a try, what will happen? He said, a very large tree, massive tree. Takshaka, what he did was, straight away, bit that tree on a branch in tree. He bit that tree and the whole tree burnt into ashes. It was only almost ashes for about a couple of liters, ashes it was. The whole tree became a couple of liters ashes lying there. And Takshaka looked at Kashyapa's face. Kashyapa took a little water and chanted some mantra and sprinkled on that ashes and the whole tree came back. This whole story is in the Mahabharatam at the end. This happened later. And when not only the tree came back, it looked more healthy than the way it was before. To Takshaka surprised when he saw that. So Takshaka lost it, isn't it? Takshaka understood that it's not going to work. If I go and beat Parikshit, this man is going there. Who? Kashyapa. Kashyapa Maharshi is going there. And he will go and remove that and bring Parikshit back to life again. So, what did he do? Then he did the thing what everybody does in this world. When he says, why are you going there? He said to Kashyapa. Kashyapa says to him, thinking that, oh, you'll get some, you know, donations from there. That's why you're going there, isn't it? I'll give you that donation. Then can you stop going there? He says to him. Kashyapa took that donation and he left. He didn't go after that. Kashyapa wanted only the donation. So at that time, Janamejaya, what did he do? Bribed him, isn't it? Bribery. So this bribing business is not a new thing. It was there from that day onwards. 5,000 years ago, this bribing has happened. Today we are saying, oh, you should not bribe and bribery, corruption and all that. It was there then, it was there all the time. It is there now also. It's not a new thing, what has happened. So even if it is Kashyapa Maharshi who is going to see Parikshit, even he, you can bribe him and get away from him. So you can see the power of bribing, isn't it? So that has spread now in every field, isn't it? It's there. But only thing is, it's all done in a very subtle level, in a posh level. People won't notice it. But it is happening in politics, in business, in every field in life. It's there. You won't be able to say that it's not there. It's very hard to say that. That as long as you are accepting this principle of Takshaka, you can get away with things in this world. So, but this principle is Takshaka's philosophy. It's not Parikshit's philosophy. Bribing things and getting things done that way. It is Takshaka's philosophy. It's not Parikshit's philosophy. So, that also we have to be conscious of. Janamejaya, after this, what has happened was, Janamejaya decided to kill all the snakes. All the snakes. Those things are not mentioned in the Bhagavad. It is in the Mahabharata. Janmaja decided to kill all the snakes and then he started this famous Sarpasatram, famous sacrifice of Sarpam. Sarpam bringing all the snakes into it through the chanting of the Brahmana's mantra. They were bringing one after the other all the powerful snakes. Tatraya was not willing to come down. And all these things were spoken. At that time, Shaunagarishi says to Sudha Goswami, by now Shiva Brahmarshi has gone. It is only Sudha Goswami and Shaunagarishi. Shaunagarishi says to Sudha Goswami, we don't want to hear all these things. This burning all the snakes like this. These stories are not interesting to us because they have been hearing to Ekadasha Skandam. And after hearing Ekadasha Skandam, to come to this level of hearing about burning all the snakes was of no interest to them. And so therefore he says to them, you have come here to speak the truth. And there also Veda Vibhagam. Veda Vibhagam means that you have divided the Vedam into Vedavyasa Maharshi talking about. Has divided the Vedam into Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Adharvana Vedam and all these things. So therefore let us change the topic from here. And suddenly you will see in the Bhagavadam there's a change of topic of discussion. Shukra Brahmarshi goes away and Parishit is also gone away. Now it is between Sutta and Shaunaga, the whole conversation from now on. Shukra Brahmarshi has gone away. Parishit has also gone. Who are left now? Sutta and Shaunaga. So there the conversation completely changes. They didn't want to hear about this Janamejaya's sacrifice of the snakes, which is there in the Mahabharatam. Mahabharatam, that story is there in detail. How Janamejaya started his Sarpasatram, that snake sacrifice. And one after the other, all the snakes had to come because they couldn't find out which is Tatshaga. When they couldn't find where Tatshaga was, they said, let all the snakes come into it, into the fire. There's a picture in the Bhagavatam of that that snakes falling in. They've made it a pictorial thing to show to us that. So that is what that Sarpasatram it is called, and that's what happened at that time. So after this now, what will happen is a completely new topic starts about Veda Vibhagam, how the Vedams were separated, how that, what all happened at that time. These questions were raised by Shaunagarishi. Shaunagarishi was a well-known scholar in the Vedic literature. His book called Shaunaga Shiksha. It is one of the textbooks used while studying Shiksha in the Shastram. So Shaunagarishi is a well-known person. But still he wanted to hear from Sudha Goswami how this division of the Vedam happened and also about the Shukla Yajurvedam and Krishna Yajurvedam. Yajurvedam, two branches have come from that. And all that he wanted to hear, which he starts talking about it now, which we will see next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.